Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, my friends, this is going to be a completely jam-packed, dynamic, extremely informative radio broadcast today. And we're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. Coming up in an hour and a half, we begin our gallery of informative guests, our marathon of guests. Charlie Skelton, London Guardian reporter, got some major scoops at the Bilderberg Group. And he was on the show a couple days ago, and he said, oh, well, I can't tell you until it's in the Guardian. And boy, I wish he would have told me, because it was about me. That's right. He was inside the hotel where they were meeting. As they were kicking him out, they were the last guest. Security was called on him. But before that, they heard Bilderberg organizers talking about how dangerous and scary I was in 2006, bullhorning them and discussing how that's why they've got to wreck the economy to basically make us all poor slaves so no one even has money to travel to confront them. Amazing information. But I got Skelton coming on. I'm going to say, look, Skelton, this is big news. Tell us what else has happened. Of course, he got arrested last year and did talk about that, and it made separate newspapers in Greece. Bob Chapman with his weekly visit pops in. Then Jim Tucker, who does have some intel for us today, and then Nigel Farage, who survived the plane crash but lost the election for the key speakership post in the British Parliament. Still a member of the European Union, member of Parliament. He'll be joining us, one of his first interviews since the plane crash. So that should be quite informative as well. You know, I know that the global government is reducing our population. I know they're changing our DNA. I know they are poisoning our water and food supplies. I have their own documents. But I got another big study yesterday and meant to go over it but didn't. But I'm going to cover it today. Top Russian scientists just confirmed what British and U.S. scientists and Australian scientists and Chinese scientists have shown. And I've had countless genetic engineers on the broadcast who were making millions of dollars a year. They would find that their long-leaf potato or their corn or whatever it was, soybeans, was sterilizing and killing guinea pigs, rats, lab mice, you name it. In every case, in some of these meetings, they were told, don't worry about it. There's too many people. We're approving this. And this new study shows how it multi-generationally sterilizes. Oh, it doesn't just sterilize you. It's going to sterilize your children. And so just remember 20 years from now when literally almost everyone is sterilized, already large portions have reduced fertility or sterilized, but when just almost no one can have kids, just remember you heard it here first, okay? You've been hit with a biological weapon. And so I'm going to cover that today. Just remember that you were warned. Just remember that we have the documentation and the evidence. And I want to be clear, my chemtrail film coming out probably in October, 2 years in the making, part of it's about chemtrails, 2 hour film. Part of it's about chemtrails, but it's the bigger story. Okay? You think Endgame exposed eugenics? Well, this is the mother load. And this is the only issue. There's nothing else. I listen to grown men driving in on sports radio, calling in really upset and talking about baseball and obsessing over it. And I mean, it's just, hey, boys, your kids aren't going to be able to have children. Comprende? You're not going to have grandchildren. I mean, you understand that's a bigger deal than your stupid baseball team? We'll be right back.
Big Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, here are the vital stacks of news that will be covered today. Stocks open lower after jobs report. And, of course, it's now being confirmed by the AP what we reported 3 weeks ago when insiders inside the census went public. Every month they lay off hundreds of thousands of people that have been hired for the census and then rehire them. The press is reporting that more than half of the employees are, quote, considered to be temporary or part-time. And so it is all a statistical manipulation. So even when you hear the numbers are bad, those are cooked as well. That's coming up. Also, North Korean diplomat, war may break out at any moment. And I saw a commenter in this story saying, well, yeah, little green men could land at any time. No, North Korea is still at war with South Korea. They've had an armistice or a ceasefire for over 50 years. And this is, most experts we've talked to say this is one of the biggest escalations in that 50-plus year ceasefire history. Okay, so if anybody goes over anyone else's border or if any ships cross into disputed areas, there could be a giant war starting anytime. We're not saying that's happening or is going to happen, but to say, as the commenter did, that, oh, yeah, and it's, you know, little green men could land. This is because the headline is North Korean diplomat, war may break out any moment. And the commenter said, yeah, and little green men may land any moment. No, Korea is a real place. Asia is a real place. Nuclear weapons are real. The Korean War or conflict, police action was real, killing tens of thousands of U.S. soldiers, hundreds of thousands of Koreans on both sides. The Chinese troops pouring across was real. China saying it's going to back up North Korea last week and this week is real. The raid on the flotilla and an American shot four times in the head is real. The euro plunging is real. The 1.5 quadrillion, 1,500 quadrillion is real. The sodium fluoride and hundreds of deadly chemicals in the water is real. The fact that every major GMO food crop you are eating in every major study is causing sterilization and reduced fertility bare minimum is real. The fact that they are spraying barium salts and aluminum dioxide and that worldwide soil samples from just a decade ago show that in most areas there's over 100-fold increase in aluminum, many areas 1,000-fold aluminum. We have government documents that are public where they don't even hide it, that they are adding these mixtures to the jet fuel so it's compartmentalized, so even the airlines don't know what's happening. It's all real. You're being killed like cockroaches. It's real. You understand that, cops? You understand that, FBI agents? You understand that, everybody out there? This is all real. North Korea's real. New aid ship heads to Gaza. Israel vows to stop it. That's real. Obama's lawyer may recommend executive privilege to block Kagan papers. Well, of course they're going to block her papers. Her public papers say ban the Second Amendment, ban free speech. The woman is a Goldman Sachs inhuman monster. Elena Kagan is the antithesis of freedom. She's 180 degrees polar opposite, period. Another media bum rush, another hoax. Where they're up there, the Republicans are even lining up to get her in there. Red alert. Tyrant alert. Oh. Fidel Castro's running around, is in the Associated Press today, saying Obama may launch nuclear war to get reelected. Yeah, broken clocks are right twice a day. Blind hogs can't find acorns. This is Veritas from El Jefe, Fidel Castro. We're going to cover that. We've got massive Bilderberg Group news. We've got Charlie Skelton joining us in about an hour and 15 minutes. London Guardian reporter with big news on that front. Bob Chapman, Jim Tucker, Nigel Farage today. After surviving his plane crash before the election, narrowly. He's a great guy and he's going to put on a good face, but very snappy, very smart, very intelligent. He was when we were setting him up, he's like, hold on, I'm needing to focus. Hold on, I've got to have more surgeries. Hold on. So we'll see how that interview goes. Tough guy. That plane flipped end over end. In fact, last report I heard, the pilot was holding on to his life. Will you pull up and see if that pilot lived? Sitting right next to Farish. So that is coming up. The UK Independence Party coming from nowhere, winning seats in the European Parliament and the British Parliament, the UK Parliament. I always make folks mad when I say the UK, the British Parliament. I know it's Scotland and the rest of it. I understand that, Northern Ireland. Eugenicist Bill Gates to attend 2010 Bilderberg Conference. Bilderberg see people with an income as a threat to their agenda. That's the London Guardian. And guess who they were talking about? London Guardian reporter on record right before they call security on him and his wife, throwing him out of the luxury hotel on the outskirts of Barcelona. How do you pronounce that town? Sedges? Sedges. And he overhears him going, yes, that Alex Jones was here. Very scary. I can't. Did the rabble attack? No, he bullhorned. It was very frightening. That's the problem. They've got too much money. We've got to shut off the funds to them so they're unable to travel. Soon enough, our program will be in place. Don't you worry. I mean, they're publicly all over the news saying it's excellent that the carbon restrictions are, and the economy imploding is stopping mobility and mobility of human activity. We'll have these rabble exactly where we want them very soon. Our goal is to destroy industrial society. And there's nothing you can do to stop our GMO sterilants. That's why I have all these big environmental groups supporting it. Oh, to stop climate change, we've got to have GMO crops. They use less water. Water is not renewable. Of course it is. Oh, my God, I just can't handle it anymore. I mean, I know every day they're murderers. I know every day they're killers. And then a London Guardian reporter is in the hotel as security scurrying around before they shut it. I've been in a Bilderberg hotel when they're meeting. Literally, I was still in the hotel room. And they were knocking on doors, telling everyone to get out. And we got video as what appeared to be the leader of Spain arrived, and they played the national anthem. I'm filming out the window at the entrance at the Marriott Chantilly, Virginia, and they play the national anthem of Spain as an armored limousine pulls in. Then as we left the hotel, we had shaved head special forces type troops in suits trying to block us in and with trucks and then following us and making eight turns with us. Then later we saw the vehicle back on the property. And then the New York Times makes jokes and says Mr. Jones was basically having a schizophrenic breakdown in a hotel park imagining there were men in sunglasses. Admitted Bilderberg group meeting. And the New York Times and others ran pieces saying, I am just a complete, full-blown, absolute, complete lunatic running around foaming at the mouth at a deserted hotel. That's how dumb they think you are. That's how cattle-like and stupid they think you are. Like I was stumbling over my words just now, even describing it. Because it's just so amazing to me how evil they are. And those New York Times reporters, their kids are drinking sodium fluoride. Their kids are eating GMO food. Almost all of their children are going to be sterile. Their grandchildren, the studies show, will be completely sterile. Maybe 1 out of 100 will be able to have children by then, every trend shows. And they just don't care. They're like, good. I like the system. I can watch a football game, and I don't care if my family line's over. I don't care if I'm being killed like a cockroach. I love it. I like it. And cops listening right now, they're like, yeah, we love it. I mean, you must. You're not at the city council demanding it be taken out of the water. You're not going to go read all the British and U.S. university reports, the Russian, the Chinese, the Australian, the Canadian. You're not even going to read the actual vaccine inserts where it says can give you cancer, can sterilize you, can brain damage you. No, you'll just hear the news say,
Vaccines cause no problems and actually increase mental acuity. Take mercury pills. They're excellent for your health. I mean, I have actual newscasts saying that. You're like, yeah, mercury is good. I choose to join with the system. I choose to run into the pit and be shot in the back of the head. Because that's the logical extension. You know, people always marvel at those famous videos in Poland or films. 16 millimeter, 8 millimeter, shot by the Germans. In Poland, in Germany, in Czechoslovakia, in Russia. And they would just round up the men, round up the women, round up the children, march them into pits and shoot them in the back of the head. And then they would have the next line, and they would politely hold their hat and bow to the German soldiers, and they would scurry forward lovingly. Oh, thank you, sir. Ooh, let me curtsy to you, and let me run into the pit and be shot in the back of the head. That's all you are, America. You drink the fluoride every day. You eat the GMO food. You're running into the pit. And you thank the government, and you appreciate it. Well, good for you, then. Good for you. At least I'm not a timid, domesticated, castrated, soul-sucked zombie. I'm going down speaking out against it. I'm going down trying to rally my fellow humans. I'm going down telling the truth. Why do you think Bilderberg's so scared of the media and so scared of citizens? Why do you think when G20 meets, they call in the regular army and lock the entire cities down and have martial law? That's what they had at G20. Why do you think they do that? Because they know they're criminals. They know they're evil. They have guilt. They know that they deserve to be punished severely for their murderous eugenics operations. They're scared of you. Just like a robber in your house is scared. They know. We'll be back with how they're sterilizing you.
Front porch sitting.
Now, you have to understand, I see articles like this every day. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I have interviewed over the years genetic engineers, in one case, one of the most highly paid genetic engineers in England. He was dealing with the longleaf potato, and they were getting ready to approve it, but they found in the studies it was sterilizing within the first generation more than half of the guinea pigs, similar results with rats and mice, and it was also causing after utero deformities. And folks, deformity after development in the womb is very, very rare. That's just something out of a science fiction movie where people mutate after they're born. But no, it was causing mutations after the rodents were born. The only other type of course, mutation there is after birth that would be called somewhat natural is cancer. And that's when cells, of course, you know, start replicating out of control and reprogramming surrounding tissues and metastasize. But and it was cancers as well. I mean, I've literally seen hundreds of these studies, and I've talked to other genetic engineers on record, and they would complain, and they would be told by executives, don't worry, there's too many people anyway. And see, they can go in and change a tomato to make it last longer or taste better. They can go in and make a salmon with insect genes last longer, have a bit better resistance to disease. But while they're at it, they can change other genetics. And whether it's genetically engineered pigs, cows, salmon, tilapia, they've got genetically engineered shrimp, spiders that produce body armor. It doesn't matter. But when it's a food crop, whether it's corn, wheat, soybeans, all the major crops, in every case, every major seed line, every major study, it's causing reduced fertility. They're doing this by design. They're going in and manipulating it, knowing that only other top genetic engineers can go in and discover it and then do their own studies to find out what had been done. So it's the perfect crime. It's so high tech. This is super high tech crime that's being committed. This is 21st century mass crime. And so then the Organic Consumers Association's got a report
So does PSFK, Research Links Genetically Modified Food to Long-Term Sterility, and the Institute for Responsible Technology, and they link to the mainline Russian studies. But again, this is on top of all the other studies. Dr. Markola is also reporting on it. And we're going to get researcher Jeffrey R. Smith, who's literally written the textbooks, by the way, that we sell with all the government documentation. They're written like textbooks at Infowars.com. Research links genetically modified food to long-term sterility. And see, this is what the other studies show with mercury-based vaccines. They do reduce your fertility. But generationally, mercury, especially when it's put directly into the blood, the type that goes through, you know, in food, is most of it's bound and it doesn't have that same effect when you eat mercury. Still not good for you. And it directly, generationally causes infertility, retardation, lower IQ, and shorter lives. Now the media will argue we're living longer. No, we're not. You can go look at the statistics on infant death, but go to any cemetery, even before the 50s, you'll notice that about half the people in there are dead kids. And if you go back to the 1900s, the 1800s, the 1700s, more than half are small children, most of them under the age of three. Most people died. Most families lost around half their children. In some areas, in higher educated, better health, better conditions, only 20-30%, depending on the – but I've got family cemeteries in East Texas. We don't own most of the land anymore, but we'll get permission every once in a while to hike over a fence off the highway and on somebody else's ranch and see family cemeteries. I've been to quite a few of them, Joneses, Johnsons, Browns, others, and it's just mainly dead kids, just everywhere, just 3 years old, 2 years old, 1 year old, 5 years old. It's just, this whole cemetery is just full of kids. And there's a few, Slash Johnson, killed by Indians. I mean, it's amazing. Back next door, by next door, it's out in the middle of a field. Another cemetery, but without gravestones, of an early Spanish settlement that people pulled out of. Some type of plague hit it. And if you dig around over there, there's little skulls and little bones, mainly kids. All right, folks, I'm going to come back and finish up with how they're murdering you and your family right now with slow kill weapons. You see, we were an agrarian / industrial society, the wealthiest in the world here in the United States, the light of the planet, the apple of the world's eye, the greatest example of freedom and liberty and private property and family. We weren't perfect, but the whole world, foreign historians and researchers from Asia, Europe, Africa, Latin America, they all marveled at our republic. Now the whole world hates us. Because we're used as an engine of evil. And we're brainwashed. We're manipulated. And we were eased into television and movies and culture. And we're the good guys. And we can do no wrong. And everything's about having fun and enjoying yourself and not being involved in government. And never mind how things work. Don't be informed. Don't be involved. I've got a video clip of Senator Jim DeMint pointing out what we've talked about a lot here. The Read the Bills Act that Ron Paul supported in Congress. And DeMint talks about in the Senate, 94% are never even looked at. Special interests just bring them in and they pass them. And that's why they're going to approve Elena Kagan, who says ban guns and arrest anyone for their free speech. That's just, they don't care. That's why they've stolen tens of trillions that you're going to pay for in tax money. And Congress says, where's the money? And they say, look, we're not going to tell you. But I want to explain something to you. I mean, I really want new listeners, because we're on all these AM and FM stations out there. We probably gained 30, 40 affiliates just in the last 5-6 months on top of the affiliates we had. I mean, I want to ask you something. You're driving along in your car for the first time. You're tuned in. You're like, what is this lunatic talking about? Listen, you know what? I am a lunatic. I'm going to be honest with you. Compared to the general public, I'm crazy. Just like if I teleported back to Nazi Germany, 1943, and was in a big slave camp, and I walked up to Germans and said, this is wrong, they'd say, you're a lunatic, lock this guy in irons, and we're going to torture him and find out who he's with. Just like I've told you, if I teleported back 1,000 years ago to the Aztec kingdom, and I walked up to a floating chalupa, that's not a Mexican dish, folks, that's the name of their floating gardens. And if I came up to one of their swamp gardens and I said, listen, you don't need to sacrifice somebody today for your plants to grow. The garden god, the plant god, the corn god doesn't need blood to grow corn. They would arrest me and they'd drag me off and sacrifice me and say I was a lunatic. So you know what? I am a lunatic, okay? I am a lunatic because the general public is crazy. But see, under the definition of insanity, you're normal, I'm not. Okay, I read government documents where they knowingly put poisons in the water under a Rand Corporation operation to sterilize your butt and to poison you and to reduce your fertility and to dumb you down. And you know what? I get angry. I get upset about that. And that is insane today. Reading legislation is seen as insane. Being involved. I mean, I've talked to so many adults who are like, man, you're weird. You're like informed and you read things and whoa. That Alex Jones, man, he says there's a global government and they want to kill the majority of us. Well, like, where are all the dead people? Well, they're being slowly killed with binary weapons. Soft kill, stealth kill weapons. And so it's done incrementally, and the doctors are brainwashed and compartmentalized, so they don't recognize what's happening. And the cancer rates are up thousands of percentiles. Every other major disease is off the charts. Autism, diabetes, thousands of percentile points up. You know, from 1 in 25,000 to 1 in 68. I mean, with autism, this isn't a game. One of the definitions of insanity is extreme folly, senselessness, foolhardiness. Of course, that describes the general public, completely insane. But to the fool, I am insane. They're like, man, you know, they don't have time to read the bills thousands a year. The government cares about us, man. You're insane, dude. That Alex Jones, he's insane, dude. Like, he's radical. He believes people should be able to own guns. He believes people should be able to own property. He doesn't believe fluoride's good for your teeth. All right, I'm going to stop it. But research links genetically modified food to long-term sterility. I mean, I see. I've literally probably read 500 studies saying the same thing. I mean, it's got to be approaching 1,000. I've got U.S. government document after U.S. government document that I've just discovered in the last week working on the chemtrail film. I've been researching it for, of course, over a decade, but working on the film for 2 years intensely. But towards the end, we do more and more research. Everything just comes to a head. And it's just the last day, four or five new public government documents on U.S. government websites saying, yes, we add chemicals to the jet fuel to have airlines disperse it and the public doesn't even know. It's wonderful, ha ha ha, and the public's such scum, they won't even read this or care. I mean, it's all off the chart. And I have to sit here and know this is going on, and I know it, and I can't even stop being lazy and pulling in and getting a hamburger that I know full well's GMO bun, GMO fries. Took my kids in Sunday night, been out fishing at the lake with my parents. I'm going home, pull into a burger place, 8 o'clock at night, out by Lake Travis. I go in, and I'm sitting there eating it, and I can't even stop. I can't even get fresh beef I know isn't GMO or find, you know, good buns. And I do most of the time, but I'm just there basically assaulting my children. And you know, if my kids can't have kids, it's my fault. You know, I lived in a house and put fluoride filters in a couple years ago, and then I moved. And for a couple years, I didn't, I just was busy. I didn't put a whole house fluoride treatment system in. In other words, fluoride's the catch-all term for hundreds of chemicals they add on purpose, on record. And I let my kids bathe in it and shower in it, and when they absorb just as much through the skin and breathe just as much as you do drinking it. And then I've recently moved again in the last few months, I've got to get up off my butt, and I've got to pay the money, and I've got to put the system in. You know, I've got to do what it takes. I've got to stop. I understand, folks, why you're not. Because it's just introduced to you. Just like you poison a water well if you got too many coyotes out in the desert. You simply, the old-fashioned way to do it is you poison the water with a slow-kill weapon that's cumulative, that takes three or four times of drinking it to build up, and the hair falls out on the coyotes, and they go off and die. That's one of the old-fashioned ways to cull, or if there's too many junk fish. I remember reading a report, and one of my buddies was telling me about it just the other day, out by Marble Falls one time, they sunk one of the lakes down, one of the dammed up rivers, till it was down to the granite bottom and just a few feet deep to get rid of all the gar and carp. And then they planes flew over and sprayed chemicals on it that killed all the fish. And then poor people went down and gathered up all the fish and went and ate them because nobody told them. But we live in a fully engineered, fully controlled society, and they're just mopping up the final, you know, they're now announcing they want to shut down talk radio today, and they want to shut down the internet and arrest people, and all over the country they're arresting activists. We Are Change activist Bruno, we're getting him on Sunday or Monday. He got arrested, you know, filming government stuff, said other We Are Change people for no reason. And then the judge said, I don't like how you look. I'm giving you 3 years in jail for contempt, and I've had top reporters on from L.A., who've been jailed for contempt. We had one on a month ago, been in there over a year. No judge, no jury, not a court date. You maybe the rest of your life. It's just total tyranny. I mean, it's just total evil, folks. It's here, okay? But you get these petty, dumbed down, fluoride, mercury head cops. They go and it's on record, they pick people under 100 IQ. They don't want somebody who can think, and I'm not even bashing you. You understand that, fools? I'm explaining to you, you're just like the general public. You're dumbed down. You're stupid on average. You like your petty power. Do you understand you're being poisoned? Just like they poison a small pool in the desert to kill the coyotes. Okay? Do you understand that white flour hamburger bun is going to sterilize you? You understand that? You understand that? The water is brain damaging you. Most of the filtered water you buy in a bottle has more fluoride. They add it to it. Most filters won't cut it out. Do you understand me? Do you hear me? You are being poisoned. And you've been, they understand habits. They understand that mammals, what they do over and over again as a habit, is psychologically at a subconscious level and an animal instinct level considered to be healthy. Just like your body thinks of cigarettes as good or as liquor as good, even though it's poison. Poisons tend to be addicting. Okay. You think tap water is good because you've done it tens of thousands of times and you've done that motor function of bringing the water to your mouth and your body thinks at a subconscious level it's good. It is not. That's why you're having resistance to me psychologically right now, because you've done it so many times. Your brain is saying, no, I've done this 10,000 times. It must be good. At a subconscious animal level, you think of bathing as good because it is good. But they've added the chemical to the water. Your body thinks of eating tasty food as good. Fat-filled, salt-filled, high-energy food. You were designed in tribal subsistence level development, and of course a big fat hamburger is good. And the government wants to restrict that big fat hamburger to have all these billboards about how they love you and care about you. The government wants to make you live a long time to take control of your life so they can put the poison in your food and control the food. And so they're seen at a subconscious level as the mommy, as the witch doctor, as the tribal chief, telling you what's safe to eat and what isn't safe to eat. But I'm ranting here, and I got a lot of news to cover and a long way to, short time to get there. Research links genetically modified food to long-term sterility. You can link to the Russian study. A new study done by Russian scientists suggests that genetically modified food may cause long-term sterility. Yeah, bears may do you-know-what in the woods. That is, sterility in second and third generation. See, that's how the soft kill works. That's how the mercury works. Europe and the United States already have 80-plus percent sperm count reductions. But humans are designed to be resilient, and so millions of sperm are injected in the act of procreation, sex, reproduction, the act of conception, and so the body is fighting through it. But many men cannot sire a son or a daughter. Many women are now infertile or close to infertile. You've been hit and hit hard. And it's generational. It's not just you. It's your kids. You understand that? It's over. I've almost got a responsibility to have more children. I've just got to beat these people. It continues. The scientists used hamsters for their research and divided them into two groups, just like with the longleaf potato study. One group of hamsters was fed a normal diet without any soy products. A second group was fed non-GMO, genetically modified organism. So non-GMO soy. The third ate GMO soy. And the fourth group was fed an even higher amount of GMO soy than the third group. So there's four groups. Each group produced about 7 to 8 litters of baby hamsters, each without any problems. Now this is where it gets important. But when the researchers, and this is in every other study, oh, it's so crafted, so focused. But when the research selected new breeding pairs from the offspring, the second generation had a slower growth rate and reached their sexual maturity later than normal. They also had a mortality rate. Now, listen to me carefully. They also had a mortality. You notice how sickly all the children are now? They also had a mortality rate 5 times higher than the hamsters who didn't eat soy. 5 times higher. Mortality rate. That means dying younger. Even more shocking was the fact that nearly all of the third generation GMO soy eating hamsters were sterile. Almost all. Over 90%. And also experienced hair growing inside their mouths. I've seen the studies now how suddenly men and women are now growing hair on the palms of their hands and their mouths. You like the little, you like what these sicko eugenicist environmentalists did to you? How they're totally obsessed with only eating non-GMO, everything's filtered. Imagine the power trips they're on when they're at the mall or church or anywhere and they're just looking at everybody they're killing. They're on sick power trips. They are murderers. They are murdering enemies. Oh, but no, the cops got an ADL report on me or Southern Poverty Law Center saying I want to kill cops, which isn't true. So you just better not read into what you're eating or your kids are eating. Yeah, yeah, because the Southern Poverty Law Center and ADL told you so. Hey, ADL, your kids eating this stuff? Yeah. Yeah, I saw a Black Panther on national television talking about how whites are the devil and how he's ready for war with the Tea Party. Hey, let me tell you something stupid. You're just as dumb as the white cops you hate so much. Let me tell you something stupid. White people don't get memos not to eat the food and drink the water. Stupid. We better all get together against this or we have no future. Stupid. Why don't you talk about how 51% or more of black people are never born? Stupid. Now, all you're going to do is spew Ford Foundation garbage so people don't get together against the New World Order. Hey, you want to kill Whitey? How about you kill the stupid white guy down the street watching baseball and football and worshiping Tiger Woods, the black worshiping white yuppie? Let me tell you something. I'm a white guy. Okay, I know white people. They love black people. They hate themselves. They worship black people. Shut up, Black Panther. You make me sick. You make me want to throw up. We're all under chemical attack, and you're running around talking about Whitey. Let me explain something to you. Whitey is a thumb-sucking dumb animal. You understand that? You make me sick. The Mexican supremacists make me sick. The white supremacists. They're never talking about GMO. They're never talking about vaccines. All they're talking about is Jews all day. Jew this, Jew that, making stuff up about Jews, lying about everybody. I know because they lie about me constantly. You stinking filth, all of you. You make me sick. We're under red level bombardment, absolute total hell, and you won't wake your dumb butts up and get together against this. Yeah, coming up, Senator DeMint, he explains, yeah, we don't even read or look at 94%. We vote on these from the cell phone driving down the highway. That's why the globalists think you're stupid. They're adding to the jet fuel at centers all over the country chemicals that are then dispersed into the atmosphere and all over the planet. Aluminum levels are off the charts. It attacks plants, but don't worry. Companies like Monsanto are coming out with aluminum-resistant seeds and plants that can grow in the aluminum dirt. You know what? You know, the globalists say you deserve it. They say you're stupid. They can do this right out in the open and that you deserve it. And it's all social control. A lot of senators, a lot of Congress people don't even know this is going on. Or if they do, it's kooky to talk about it, so they better not get into it. Okay, well, all right. Doesn't matter if 90-plus percent of the EPA scientists sent letters in 2000, again in 2004, on record, to the EPA boss saying, look, you're putting hundreds of deadly chemicals in the water by design that cause cancer. Why are you, we need to stop this. Doesn't matter. Just say it's kooky. I was talking to a researcher. I'm just going to stop there. Very high level. About the Rand Corporation. By the way, did you get that email about that author he recommended who wrote the book about the Rand Corporation? And I'd already noticed this, but he reminded me. He said, you know, Kubrick's whole movie, Dr. Strangelove, is about the Rand Corporation. They talk about the Bland Corporation in the film because they invented midair refueling and the Doomsday Device. And there was a guy named Khan who's the character Dr. Strangelove, and the whole fluoridation plan was theirs when they read it in the Nazi documents. We're just completely fried. It's just unbelievable. It's so evil. You can't get the general cowards out there to admit this to themselves. It takes a man to read government documents saying they're killing us. And it takes a man to stand up against it. The average coward gets a warm stream going down their leg, wetting their pants, and just says, look, I choose the Matrix, and just runs headlong to the ballpark to sit there and eat a GMO hot dog. You don't even love your children. You don't care. You love dying. And I've got to read about each group produced about 7 to 8 litters of baby hamsters, each without any problems. But when the researchers selected new breeding pairs from the offspring after being fed GMO, the second generation had a slower growth rate and reached their sexual maturity later than normal. But wait, it gets better. They also had a mortality rate 5 times higher than the hamsters who didn't eat soy, GMO soy. Even more shocking was the fact that nearly all of the third generation GMO soy eating hamsters were sterile and also experienced hair growing inside their mouths. And notice how the GMO soy is a liberal thing. It's for the earth, and Al Gore says eat it, and he's on the board of Google and Apple, and oh, we've got to worship him. Oh my gosh. Oh, thank you, Al Gore. You love me. Genetically modified food has received much criticism earlier, too. Studies linking them to problems with birth weight and infant mortality in major studies of humans. But don't listen to me. Again, I get upset about it, and that's not normal. You're supposed to say, oh, yes, Oh, and all you yuppies that went to college and were taught there's too many people and say, well, there are too many people. That's right. There's too many of you. You don't get it. It isn't just the blacks you don't like they're going to kill in Africa. Oh, they're hard killing them over there. Some countries, 40%+ dying. They're going to hard kill you next, too. Africa's just one phase deeper. So you kind of like giggle and make little jokes about the blackie. You want to kill them? Because you're a racist? Well, you're going to die, too. Of course, you're not going to have any of the white supremacists that claim they care about the white race so much. You'll never hear them talk about GMO or vaccines being bad because they're all Southern Poverty Law Center or Fed run on record. And so, oh, they won't talk about anything real. Absolutely not. They'll just make stuff up all day and get everybody in fighting with each other because they don't want to actually have an effect. No, no, no.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, I just spent the last hour basically ranting about why I'm so upset and why it's hard for me to even cover regular news. So what? I mean, it's important because it just shows how criminal they are. But of course, all of Obama's supporters and big campaign people are criminals in Chicago. Of course, he's buying votes with jobs. Of course, it's all illegal. I mean, Mayor Daley's the son of one of the most famous mob bosses in history. And he'll get your guns. He owns you. He'll arrest 84-year-old veterans who defend themselves in their homes. You're not going to own a gun in Chicago. But, I mean, what does that matter next to every major GMO crop that's been tested, even in the company's own studies? Potatoes, corn, soybeans, it doesn't matter, has had the added engineered property of sterilizing you. We got the studies that it creates low birth weights, low fertility in the first generation of humans. Now we're getting the second generation in. It's even worse. Same thing with the hamsters. Until 90%+ are born dead, and of the 10% that live, they're retarded with hair growing in their mouths, and they're sterile. End of the species. Over. And the globalists, of course, have all the cures for this for themselves. Yeah, if you just tuned in, you heard me right, okay? Get up off your butts. The movies don't matter. Acting cool. All you women out there totally obsessed with if you're a few pounds overweight or you're getting old. Hey, stop caring about yourself. Start caring about the species and children and the future of humanity. You're all empty and unhappy because you haven't found the truth. You're all empty and unhappy because you're not struggling for the species. The species has always struggled. And now, right on the edge of what the elite believes is immortality, and potentially we're on the verge of something similar to that, at least a massively extended life and high technology and true enlightenment and many of the mysteries of the universe being solved. And you know, the Bible says that God has things planned for us that the ear has not heard, the eye has not seen, the mind has not imagined. We're on the edge of this, and these people are robbing it all from us and taking over our complete human development. I can't even get you to care. I've got too much evidence. I've got too much proof. I just wallow in it. I just research quietly when I'm not on air. And then I get on air and I'm like, my God, I just want to warn people. It's like I'm in a slaughter pen trying to warn a bunch of cows. You have no idea you're about to be fed into a meat grinder, that you're being murdered slowly right now with soft kill, stealth kill. It's absolute fact. Don't you understand? All of you that serve this system. I talk to doctors. I talk to executives. I talk to people that are mid-level power structure, high-level power structure. And they all know about this. And they go, yeah, the elite have made the decision, but what are you going to do? A lot of them say you might as well try to somehow join it so that protects your family. There's no joining this. You don't join with this. You notice it's deployed against everyone. It's designed, the top globalists, the top acolytes of this, the top professors that get invited to hang out with Prince Philip and Ted Turner, Peter Singer and Dr. Pianca and others, they all run around talking about how wonderful it'll be to finally kill the last human. how we're a disease, how it would be a great glory and to kill, you know, to be the last human alive and to pull the switch on themselves. I mean, do you have any idea the level of evil you're facing? The dark shadow, the spirit out of hell that has inhabited these people? I mean, what else do you call it? You don't reason with these people. You don't join with it. Oh, because you want to just go home and have sex with your wife or your mistress or do some drugs or be worshipped at some party or be cool. You're not in love with humanity and the species and the future. You don't have any instinct to fight back. You just care about your personal nihilistic fun right now. You are trash. And I pray to God that your seed doesn't go to the distant star systems and that people that love humanity and have God's spirit in them do. We must stop you. We must stop you.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
No doubt an ultra-massive news blitz is coming up in about T-minus 5 minutes, but I wanted to start this segment with a video that's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. You can also get it at Senator DeMint's, Jim DeMint's senatorial website. Over 90% of bills pass secretly with no debate and no vote. Now, this is something we've hammered on. Ron Paul's introduced bills in the House. DeMint's tried to introduce them in the Senate. What does this say? It speaks to the lawlessness. It speaks to the corruption. It speaks to the fact that he talks about how we're $14 trillion in debt. That's kind of like you have a $200,000 house and a $2,000 mortgage bill is due this month, but you owe $400,000. On a $200,000 house, on average, you'll pay $400,000. So you owe $2,000 this month. That's what's due. But you really owe $400,000. So, and this is how it configures. The $14 trillion is the $2,000 versus the $2,000 to $400,000. You understand? The commitment is out in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of trillions. Globally, 1.5 quadrillion, according to economists that I put stock and faith in, like Tarpley. All the economists agree it's at least over 500 trill. Tarpley says 1.5 trill, and that was a year ago, so I'm sure it's more now. So, let me explain that. They want a government to bankrupt you. They want a government to get everybody in debt. It's all made up to the bankers. That's how they get the planet. So, when he talks about 14 trillion dollars, more than the entire GDP in a year, that is only what's due now. 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 That's what's due now. Not the commitments, not the expenditures. And it's similar to owing $2,000 on your $200,000 home, but when you're done paying the house off in 20 years, it'll be $400,000. You understand? That's what we're talking about here. That's our share of the 1.5 quadrillion and growing. Now, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, they've got legislation introduced. Well, they already did it with the Enemy Combatant Act. It says they can grab a citizen, strip of their rights. But that's executive. That's just a made-up thing the White House has declared. But they're doing it. This is legislation to grab you and put a bag over your head and you disappear. You understand? The maximum tyranny. And they've got legislation to take over talk radio and free speech. They've got legislation to take everything. Folks, they are robbing you blind. The average congressman, the average House member goes into the House already being a multimillionaire. They end up being billionaires, many of them. Look at Al Gore. Goes in. He leaves as a vice president with $1 million. Some estimates have him at $1 billion worth now. Tipper's cashing in at the right time. It's the payoff, folks. They're in there criminally robbing everything. Okay? It's over. They've already bankrupted us 1,000 times over. And I mean, when I say 1,000, that's conservative. That's not a figure of speech. Okay? They have sucked the blood out of us till we are ash on the ground. There's not even a skeleton left. Okay? Then they used our ashes for kitty litter. They are wallowing on our corpse. Okay? The government is a totally lying criminal enterprise. I mean, it's been admitted for 2 months that they hire and let go upwards of a half million. Some reports today say it's a million census workers every month to claim its new jobs. And even with those fake jobs, they're losing jobs. And I've got articles about all the fake job reports. I mean, it's just all lies, ladies and gentlemen. Of course it's lies. They're poisoning our water supply, and every GMO crop sterilizes every mammal species is fed to. Of course they're going to lie and steal everything. They're poisoning your butt. They think the world belongs to them, and they don't want you on it. You're seen as cockroaches in their pantry. You got that? Oh, my gosh. Because last hour I read the major news study on 3 generations of guinea pigs fed GMO soy, completely sterilized and mentally retarded with hair growing out of their mouth. Go look at the photos on my website. Just mutated zombies. And then we have all the studies with links to it where humans, 1 generation eating GMO, same thing's already happening. You like that? You think that's cute? You think that's fun? You think it's... Folks, the government has declassified tens of thousands of times that they would take children and radiate them to death, foster children, in our government, where they would give pregnant wives of GIs uranium, plutonium pills just to see what type of miscarriage they'd have. Or where they'd march troops into a chamber, our own troops, and nerve gas them. Oh, the government wouldn't carry out 9/11. Grow up. Grow up. They use this fake patriotism to gut the country. Okay, you better grow up. I'm risking my life to do this. I'm going to tell you, I'm not scared one bit about them killing me. I could care less. I'm not scared one bit to give you this information. That's a normal human instinct. When your entire species is threatened, your entire tribe is threatened, for a man to care less about what happens to him to fight you. You've had your instincts stripped and your humanity sucked out of you if you've got any fear of these people. My only fear is not doing a good job and not fighting them hard enough and not motivating enough people to defeat this scum. Bunch of control freaks. Bunch of chicken neck. You go to these globalist conferences that are public with all the scientists and all the talking about exterminating us. Bunch of chicken neck control freaks on a power trip. All right, I said I got a bunch of news and I got to cover because all these guests are coming up. Let's play Senator DeMint talking about how 90%+ of the bills aren't even looked at. You understand? That's a lawless criminal out of control government. But don't worry. Some car cleaning place doesn't pay a 4 cents tax bill. Armed IRS shows up to threaten them because they're all busy by law only focusing on little people, not on the big boys stealing everything. They'll bust an occasional Hollywood person knowing it's high profile. It's just lawless, total criminals. Got it? Here it is.
And I appreciate him willing to put some solutions forth here. But I think it's really important that we talk about the bigger picture when we talk about secret holes. And I do want to make it clear I'm not interested in holding anything in secret. As a matter of fact, whenever we do, as part of steering or personally, we let the cloakroom know they can tell anyone they want that we're holding a bill. So I'm not trying to preserve any kind of aspect of a secret hole, but I think it is important that America know what we're talking about here. At this point in the Senate, 94% of all the bills are passed unanimous consent. 94%. So this is hardly a lack of productivity. And what this means is 94% of the bills that pass the Senate have no debate, no vote, no amendments, no reading of the bill, no online disclosure, and very often no score from the Congressional Budget Office. When I first took over the steering committee, one of the things I learned real quickly is that whenever we're having a break, if we're going for a week like we are this week, on my way to the airport, I would get a call from staff telling me there were dozens of requests to pass bills, unanimous consent, because they knew we were all going out of town. And a lot of them had some pretty big price tags on them. Folks, you don't get $13 trillion in debt when you're doing things right. And part of the problem is that 94% of the bills that pass the Senate pass in secret. The problem is not secret holes, it's a secret passing of bills, when very often we don't even know who's requesting bills. And if we didn't have staff available at night when they run their so-called hotlines, which means the phone in your office rings, They ask if you will agree to pass a bill. You haven't read it. You don't know what it's cost. But if you don't agree to pass it by unanimous consent, you are holding the bill. If you ask to read it for the next day or two, it's very likely that some association is getting emails from either the Republican or the Democrat side that Senator Mint is holding this desperately needed piece of legislation, who nobody else has read. I'd be glad to work with my colleagues on dealing with this issue if they believe secret holes are a problem. But I frankly think passing 94% of the bills without anybody even reading them or knowing they're getting passed is not a good way to do business. I think it's fair to have some system where, first of all, you cannot secretly ask for a bill to be passed unanimous consent. And that's what goes on here today. And we should look at the Coburn-McCaskill Amendment, where if you want something passed unanimous consent in the dark of night, that you have to put it on the Internet for at least 3 days with a cost from the Congressional Budget Office so we know what we're getting into.
Okay. You can watch the whole video. That's only part of it up at Infowars.com. But even that's a whitewash. He should be saying this is criminal treason. They should be passing laws against this. This is completely illegal. By the way, all your state legislatures do it. 2 years ago, I played a local news clip where it showed state senators and state house members in Texas voting for each other and voting multiple times. And they just admitted it was illegal, and the Congress people in the legislature just laugh. That's done now. It's just a lawless folks. They just passed $2.6 billion in taxes in Austin in the next 3 years. That's more than all the taxes combined, paying it to offshore banks as a carbon tax. I have been to the farmers and ranchers' houses that the city of Austin took in southwest Austin 12 years ago, and then they turned around and took the restrictions off and built on it, and the very city council people now are bankers that own it. I mean, it's just total mafia evil everywhere. Do you understand that? And it's going to get worse. Of course they've built FEMA camps. Of course they're militarizing police. Of course they're in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram with the police chief injecting roids. You know, telling people they all need to take steroids so they're all a bunch of roid-raging maniacs running around feeding on us. I mean, this is a totally psycho-demon government, and they've just got us all comfortable to accepting it, and our neighbor gets hauled off for no reason, and we just accept it. We're a bunch of trained fodder to be fed on. Not me. What I'll do is I'm going to expand the news coverage, cover a ton of it, coming up when Bob Chapman's on with us in the next hour. Then Jim Tucker's popping in from Bilderberg 2010, and then Nigel Farage, member of the UK Independence Party, whose plane mysteriously crashed on the day of the election. He narrowly lost. He is a member of the European Union Parliament. Talk about all the things that are happening with Bilderberg 2010. Here is the Bilderberg News ahead of Charlie Skelton of the London Guardian joining us in the next segment. Eugenicist Bill Gates to attend 2010 Bilderberg Conference. Eugenicist means he wants you bye-bye. He says publicly he wants to have a worldwide forced inoculation program to reduce population by at least half. People said, well, how do vaccines reduce our population? Take them and you'll find out. Eat those GMO foods, too. I got all the studies here. How come you're not going to get grandchildren? Well, because it only takes two generations with these till you're totally sterile. Well, two generations almost completely sterile, three generations deformed, retarded, sterile. Microsoft founder who bankrolls sterilization vaccine programs to give speech on global warming agenda and the needs of the poorest. Yes, he has special injections for them. Goes on, Microsoft founder Bill Gates will join fellow elitists for the first time at the 2010 Bilderberg Conference, currently taking place in Sitges, Spain, after he apparently attempted to pull a bait and switch by pretending to attend another event before being forced to admit to journalists that he will give a speech at the globalist confab. Of course, last year, at the same time they were meeting in Greece,
that he was meaning, and the headline was, World Elite Meet to Discuss Overpopulation in New York at Rockefeller University. Gates let slip that he would make his debut at the Bilderberg after being asked by a journalist from 20 Momentos, a free Spanish newspaper which is published daily in numerous Spanish cities as well as others around the world. According to the report, Gates told reporters, I'm one of those who will be present, adding that he will take part in the debate with fellow globalists on the subjects of energy and the needs of the poorest. He has a vaccine program for them. They won't have any problem being hungry anymore. There's no hunger for the dead. As well as climate change, renewable energy, and economic crisis. But see, he's smart and intelligent. His dad's the former head of Planned Parenthood. He cares about you. Indicating that he will also give a speech to the Bilderberg elitist, Gates said, I hope not to bore. It appears as though Gates initially tried to throw reporters off the scent by claiming he was in Barcelona to attend Global Health Insurance Conference, which was then mysteriously canceled. The translation of the Spanish report can be read here. Gates' presence of the elite confab was also confirmed by the German news agency DPA. The Spanish report also confirms that Spain's prime minister will attend the conference this afternoon. And it goes on, Rumsfeld will be scurrying around and others. Okay, so let's go ahead and go to another big article. I had Charlie Skelton on the day they kicked everybody out, Wednesday. It officially starts Thursday, and I've been in a hotel when they shut it down and run you out. When the president of Spain arrived, they played the national anthem for him when he went in, and then they were banging on the door saying, get out of here. He said he had big news coming out in The Guardian. He wouldn't tell me what it was, so I don't really even know the point of having Mr. Skelton on, though he's a great guy. I like him. He spilt his guts last year about what's happening. He said, well, I got to file it in The Guardian first. Well, I then read The Guardian yesterday, last night. I hadn't read his article during the day, though we'd actually linked to it. The big news was about yours truly. He was Bilderberg Group servants, security, were talking about me and how scary I was. And I guess I am scary to them. I mean, I know they're criminals. I actually read their own documents. I follow what they're doing. I'm here exposing them. And boy, I wish Skelton would have told me. He said, oh, there is some other big news I heard inside, but you'll have to read The Guardian to know about it. So maybe he'll tell me he got arrested last year. That was all over the news, trying to sneak around and infiltrate. And his wife's a witness to all this. He took his wife along with him this year, so he's coming up. But, very frightening. I'm frightening them. Ooh. And they said that it's a threat that the welfare state, and I see they see it as allowing you to have a job or money or any property as a welfare state. They see it as they own the planet. People got confused by that. You know, how are journalists being able to travel to Bilderberg, the welfare state? Well, they say they want a post-industrial world where you're not allowed to leave your town without special papers. This has been announced by the UN. This is sustainability. For the Earth, of course. Bilderberg see people with incomes as threat to their agenda is the prisonplanet.com headline. The article out of The Guardian is Bilderberg 2010, the security lockdown begins. So this happened Wednesday. He got it out Thursday. The problem with newspapers, they're not instant time. And we learn in the article that I'm literally like Freddy Krueger or something to these people. They're standing around talking about, you know, but see, that's the truth. They're a bunch of little men behind the curtain, like the Wizard of Oz, and we're the equivalent of 800-foot giants. Yes, they're there drinking their finest champagne and gobbling caviar, having a big eugenics summit, dealing with world forced inoculations, cutting off power supplies, stopping mobility. We're going to be talking with Charlie Skelton of the London Guardian. He's also written for the Evening Standard and reports for BBC One. The list goes on and on. And now, after he's filed his London Guardian report, he can now spill his guts about what he has witnessed. And he told me he is going to spill his guts. But even more will be in the new report he's filing today and another tomorrow. And then, of course, some next week after the World Government Conference elapses Sunday morning. But before I go any further, I want to thank one of our sponsors, ocolablue.com, the atmospheric water generator in high demand, folks. They sell out quite often, so get your order in. It grabs water out of the atmosphere, the purest, cleanest water you can get. Ocolablue, ecolablue.com, ocolablue.com, or 800-691-6043. They have a special running from Thursday, June 3rd, until Sunday, June 6th. Love operators there. 12 months of filters with all Ocolablue units. That's a multi-hundred-dollar value discount. So tell them Alex sent you when you put in the product code at ocolablue.com or 800-691-6043, 800-691-6043, ocolablue.com. And lastly, we're not funded by the Ford Foundation or the media or the government. We are funded and supported by you, the listeners of this radio/TV transmission. And you can see all of my films in super high quality at prisonplanet.tv, 15 cents a day. You can download other films we've been authorized to post there, like Camp FEMA, that is going up Monday. We've been a little bit behind posting that. We posted, of course, Don't Tread on Me 2 weeks ago, The Police State for the Rise of FEMA, Invisible Empire, No Order Defined, and the live simulcast of the radio show, A Higher Bitrate Podcast. But more than that, your $5.95 a month funds so much of what we do here. So I want to thank all of the PrisonPlanet.tv members who have been members over the years, 6+ years up and running. We're adding a lot of new features, as you've noticed, to the sites and making it even more easy to navigate. There's just so much media there. I don't know if we've even updated those subsections that have old media in them. You've got to actually log in to see all the new stuff. PrisonPlanet.tv. You can also go to InfoWars.com, the secure online video bookstore, and order films like Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. I travel to Bilderberg. I confront them. I get in their face. I bullhorn them. And you're about to hear about their fear 4 years later concerning this from a Guardian reporter. We show their own documents, their own statements about a planetary regime to cut off resources so they can control us. Poverty is the greatest control tool. This film is the most essential of my 20-plus documentaries, available at InfoWars.com. You can also get Invisible Empire. That's a kind of an updated version of this with the overall world government program. That's one of our newest films. Again, all available at InfoWars.com. You can also write to us, P.O. Box 19549. That's P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. And get the DVDs and films that way. And we've got combos where some of the films are as low as $5 a piece, like Loose Change Final Cut. In fact, you can get it for $5 by itself. And again, I want to thank you. We couldn't pay for the servers, the webmasters, the camera people, the engineers, the plane tickets, all of it without you. We've done something really special here, and I want to commend you and thank you and all of our sponsors that have also made it possible. So be sure and continue to support if you want to see this work continue and expand. Okay, shifting gears back into Charlie Skelton. Here are the headlines. We've got one by Paul Joseph Watson today. This is being reported by the major French news. At a press conference, he snuck into Spain, got caught there, and now admits that eugenicist Bill Gates to attend 2010 Bilderberg conference. But the really big news, because it shows how scared they are internally, and it shows this mirrors what Zbigniew Brzezinski said 3 weeks ago in Canada when he said, for the first time, the whole world is awake to world government and not just our puppet politicians, but the actual power structure. We're in trouble. People said, well, he's playing possum. No, he's not playing possum. And so Bilderberg see people with income as threat to their agenda. This was filed in part two of his London Guardian report, Bilderberg 2010, the security lockdown, Charlie Skelton. And he joins us. He can now tell us the day he was kicked out Wednesday before it started. Always key intel. What security people did to him and his wife. What he overheard them saying. And then he could tell us what happened yesterday and today. Charlie Skelton, thank you for joining us, sir.
Hello. Lovely to be back.
Good to have you. So you've got the floor. You can now, since you filed your reports, tell us, because, you know, it's good to give them the scoop first. They paid to send you there. You work for them. Tell us the incredible, what you witnessed inside, sneaking about, spying on them, and before they kicked you out, and then what's happened since then.
Yeah, well, first of all, to talk about what you mentioned, we sat ourselves at dinner next. This is a couple of days before the, in fact, the night before lockdown. So, whatever night that would have been, Tuesday night, we sat next to some of the conference organizers, because what people have to remember is that this is, apart from anything else, it's a big conference. So there's a large team of extremely well-oiled conference organizers who run the whole show every year, at least the core team members do. And they were having their dinner. And so we sat ourselves down nice and innocently next to their table, and we just sat and pretended to have a conversation all night whilst listening. So, yeah, we did a little bit of earwigging. And one of the things that we heard that was most astonishing was the discussion that took place about you and about your presence at Bilderberg with your bullhorn. And they started saying, you know, they said, you've seen the videos from that year. This is a quote. You've seen the videos from that year. They were very close to the hotel. And the person looked in absolute terror and said, but did they ever try to attack? And the person looked back equally fearful and said, no, but it was scary. It was very scary. There was a demonstration at the walls. And, you know, did they ever try to attack? And they were asking this absolutely seriously. And they were having this discussion. And, you know, I'm here now with looking, I'm here with people, and the people who are standing here at the roundabout, much as you did before. And, you know, they're saying that, they're saying their slogans and they're holding their banners, and there's an awful lot of, there's a little bit of anger towards the people up the hill, but generally speaking, there's a lot of love towards humanity, and there's a lot of concern and anxiety. And what there isn't is there's no great attack going on. The only attack is an attack upon the ideas that are being talked about upstairs. The only attack is upon their strategies. And but they, honestly, these people were sitting there and they had fear in their eyes, and it was quite extraordinary. So, you know, I don't quite, they've completely misunderstood at one level. I suppose in one level they've got it right, but they've completely misunderstood what kind of people are outside. You know, they have demonized the concerned, interested citizen who is standing out here, who has traveled to whatever part of the world Bilderberg happens to be in and is holding their flag and is chanting their chant. And they see these people as the enemy. And what they don't understand is that these people who are standing out here chanting, they are the true friends of humanity.
Well, that's the point you make in your well-written article. And I want to remind listeners, we contacted you last year, hearing that The Guardian was going to send a reporter, there was a big announcement and the paper was promoting it. We contacted you and you're like, I kind of thought it was a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they were sending a reporter who they thought would really, be balanced, because you thought it was a joke. And then once you got there and they harassed you and arrested you, you know, and now you've had this conversion of realizing, but you have some quotes here in your article. He says, although why attending Bilderberg has to remain such a mystery remains a mystery. The blackened windows, the limousines, the desperate camera dodging of the delegates, the paranoia was riding high amongst the conference organizers. A pair of them talked about 2006 Bilderberg conference in Ottawa, where the radio host Alex Jones led the protest with his megaphone. They were very close to the hotel. You're quoted as them saying, said one. Another looked shocked and said, did they ever try to attack? A shake of the head, and the answer, no, but it was very scary. A third leaned in. This is the negative side of the welfare state. People have enough income so they can do this. It's like a permanent threat. And see, from what I've read by the phony environmentalist and the globalist, they want to shut the economy down, only allow authorized, permitted travel, for government-approved reasons. They want a local environmental boss that controls every facet of your life. It has nothing to do with environment. It's prison. And they say they want a post-industrial world to control us so that we literally only live and work in one town and maybe get to travel once in our lives. This is the policy. So what you heard was a major window into the mindset, and they see us as the enemy because they have a predatory view on us, and so they subconsciously expect us to hate them and dislike them. And finishing up your eloquent writing here, you went on to make the point that no, this is humanity upset about being slaves, upset about being looted, upset about their elected leaders meeting in secret with the big owners. In fact, you said, what threat? The people concerned about this unfairness of the world should drape a banner over a police cordon, that they should shout their anger at the madness of asset-grabbing transnational corporations whose chairmen are sipping beers with our elected officials. It's like a permanent threat. Don't make me spit. And then it talks about them basically harassing you and your wife. Please continue.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear about who is saying this. The person that was, this conversation was being had by kind of people on the inner core of the Bilderberg Conference organization. So they're the kind of, they're the Bilderberg group people. They're the, you know, they're the sort of people in charge of Bilderberg. They're not the people at Bilderberg who are the participants, but, you know, they're close to the, they're very close to the ideology of Bilderberg.
This is top minions, top minions.
Yeah, top minions, yeah. And, yeah, the you can actually identify which level the minions are at by their lanyard colours. Someone's pointed out that the delegates have got white lanyards, and the I think that the aides have got yellow lanyards, and the security's red, and et cetera, et cetera. Oh, and I think the sort of logistic conference organisers have got green lanyards. So it's a very well-run event, and it's a very big event. And my God, the people are starting to talk about the cost of this. And a very interesting quote came out today, which is that it's simply to have, you know, there's all kinds of different police here. You know, there's secret police, there's state police, there's riot police, there's also local police. There's the Mossos de Squadra, which is the local Catalonian police, I think. And a quote has come out today that just to have them, I mean, they're just the very lowest, you know, of the police forces around. Just to have them is 150,000 euros per day. So the big question is, you know, who's picking up that tab? Is it the Spanish taxpayer? And if so, that's a disgrace. And if the Bilderberg Conference is reimbursing the Spanish taxpayer, then basically they're using the local police as a private army. So either way, it's grotesquely unethical.
And again, up until the last few years, almost no mainstream media coverage, or zero, going back a decade and before. So they are not happy. What do you make of the TV and radio, as well as multiple newspapers in Germany and Spain, reporting that Bill Gates flew into a fake conference? When the media showed up, it wasn't real, and he admitted, I'm really here for Bilderberg. I mean, they even put on a fake medical conference just for him to have a cover. This is incredible.
That is quite extraordinary. And, you know, it's not just incredible. It's absolutely pathetic. I mean, that really is sad, isn't it? I mean, I find this whole, you know, zooming up the hill behind tinted windows and swooping into the underground garage and distractions. And do you remember when President Obama shook off his, well, not, was he, yeah, shook off the whole, he wasn't president then.
But he was candidate off, Obama.
Candidate Obama. Yeah, and he shook off the whole press corps, and Axelrod is standing on the plane going, I'm sorry, he's got to go attend some meetings, and the press are going.
But we were there. The Secret Service drove in with three black vehicles, and they had submachine guns and pointed them at us. And we have just a blur of the video, but we paused it. It's online. You can see the submachine gun, and those guys are just like out of a movie, just red, because, you know, Hillary and him, and they're just candidates. Yeah. And I'm out there going, the real leader in there. And then here comes the two presidential candidates. And then we announced he was there, that it had gone to Hillary from Tucker's sources, and boom, Hillary stood down. Again, they're picking our president, and yeah. I, as a citizen, get a machine gun pointed at me, but that's not scary. My bullhorn is scary.
And they're scared. Yeah, no, they're scared, and, you know, they should be scared, because you look at the difference between Greece last year and Spain this year, and the big difference. It, you know, physically, it looks very similar. It's exactly the same kind of setup. It's a high-security hotel up a hill, you know, and police, Mediterranean police surrounding it in vast numbers, and it's been confirmed that there's, you know, military divers off the coast in a boat. You know, the whole thing is very much like last year, you know, when the Greek Navy intercepted a couple of, you know, bloggers and photographers. And but what's different is that the media are starting to talk about it. And, you know, Alex, you've done an amazing job, because I think people are starting to hear, and you've been shouting on that bullhorn for quite long enough. But, you know, you look at the effect now, and And in today, apparently, there's a page in today's Independent newspaper, that's British broadsheet national paper. I think the Guardian are actually picking up another piece and putting it in the newspaper about just a more of a newsy kind of piece. And I was on Radio 4 talking, which is a major news, a current affairs radio program called Today.
No, it's worldwide. I mean, I can get it on my XM radio.
Yeah, and so that's what you're seeing there. And the Spanish newspapers, and apparently the only Spanish newspaper that hasn't really reported on it is the one owned by one of the guys up the hill. But it's very, very different. There are more people here, and there are camera crews, and there are photographers, and there are news reporters, and there are documentary makers, and it feels totally different, and it really feels like a breakthrough.
So the tide is turning against him, exactly as Zbigniew Brzezinski said 3 weeks ago. Other intel when you were inside and talking to other reporters.
Actually, before I go there, can I tell you about something else about the turning of the tide?
Sure.
Which is that, I've just literally been told it. Apparently, there's going to be some footage coming up on YouTube somewhere, but the people who've been chanting their chant in Spanish on the roundabout here, they've been chanting to the police, they've been saying, you have a heart behind your badge, you have a brain under your hat. After the football, they've been chanting. After the football, we're the ones you'll be having a beer with. We're the ones you should be protecting. And they kept saying this, you have a heart behind your badge. And apparently, I've been told one of the policemen took off his hat, turned to his colleagues and said, I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore, and walked across the street and joined the protesters. Now, apparently there's footage of that, but if that's the case, that right there is the power of, I sound like an idiot, but that's the power of truth and that's the power of information.
We just played the video from YouTube of when they had the machine guns pointed out the windows at us. You can pause that later if you're watching this on the web and see it, but that's just from video. We have video stills online that are even crisper. And then they had Marines driving around with clown mask on, following us and harassing us. Again, it's all psychological because we dare go and say, we don't want our president picked in secret. And the Marines are like, this is illegal. A citizen's... that's a good still right there. We can see him lifting the machine gun up. But there's another shot where it's pointed out. Mr. Skelton, stay with us for another 5 minutes in this segment and then five more. 5 minutes into the next hour. Then we got Jim Tucker coming up later, Bob Chapman and Alon Moore. I want to talk about more what you saw inside the hotel as they threw you out and what other reporters are telling you, what intel they're getting. But that's really exciting news.
I hear the train coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in...
Well, Charlie Skelton writes for major newspapers, including The Guardian. He's on assignment there outside Barcelona in this resort area at this luxury hotel outside of it. And he's got some major breaking news for us, confirming what he heard the highest level Bilderberg staff of the club itself at dinner. And I wish you'd had a micro recorder, man, that'd be gold. But regardless, you're a reporter, so it's on the record and that's good. But Tucker's saying, Tucker told you, and this is big news. Tell folks what Tucker told you.
Well, this is confirmed. What Tucker said confirmed what we heard at dinner. And what we heard is that, they were talking about the fact that there are fewer delegates this year turning up to the Bilderberg conference because a lot of them don't want to come because they don't want to be seen to come and because of the security and they think they might get seen so they're not turning up. And I heard Jim Tucker say that. So what you've got a situation there where this meeting is, they don't want to be seen to be a Bilderberger. I mean, what on earth does that tell you about the meeting? And what does it tell you about the fact that, the amount of guerrilla journalism and the amount of interest on the online community and, what few journalists have been reporting about this, that kind of pressure is building and it's turned into a situation which is untenable for people, some of the delegates to come along. So they've turned their back. And
well, what about 94? Hillary Clinton got a $400,000 fine for violating the Logan Act. As a, in the White House. And then in 2006, we know Hillary was in Ottawa. She lied about it. And here came a U.S. diplomatic armored limousine, and they pulled into the underground parking garage, and then it left a few hours later. And then later we confirmed Hillary was there. So, I mean, it's just incredible. And Madeleine Albright in 2008, there's actually photos of this online that activists shot. I was told, because, you know, we were all around the perimeter bullhorning and yelling, and there were people, so it was a several square mile area, so I didn't see it, but I saw the photos. She drove in a Volvo, and even though it was 200 yards in or so, because this place in Virginia had, you know, woods all around it, it was, you know, quite a park area around it, and they had police and others and Marines and plainclothes guarding it, that she ran in and panicked and then ran back out. And there's photos of it. So, I mean, they are scared to death of the people because of the type of criminal stuff they're discussing in there. They know. I mean, they're acting so guilty.
I know. It's like Bilderberg has become a dirty word. And I don't. If it's one of those questions, if it's not a bad thing, why not just go? I don't understand. You know, if it's just a thing that people are just having a nice chat, or if they're strategizing for the good of the world, then great. Why not just have those strategy talks, and why not just invite the press, and maybe even ask a few intelligent people who what they might think about it? Maybe ask the members of the press. Maybe ask the members of the public. Let's talk about the, you know, how to steer our humanity to a better place. But maybe that's not exactly what's being discussed.
Now, you talk about being the last person in the hotel and them running you and your wife out with security. Describe some more what happened inside as they closed the gates.
Well, it's my wife is she's got some nerves. I was much nervier than she was. She decided to just drag her heels. We were checking out. We were about an hour late checking out. They kept ringing the room, and I was going, for goodness sake, we have to go. And she's going, no, this is fun. And she got to reception, and then she said, oh, do you mind? I've really got to print something out. They said, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. And so the concierge accidentally sent her right in. This is when they were putting up the trestle tables. It was really, they were getting everything just ready. All the guests had left except us. And my wife Hannah goes and sits down right in the middle of the engine of Bilderberg at a computer terminal, and suddenly she's spotted, and this extremely stern Dutch lady turns around and says, take her to security, take her to security, you know, and they got pretty nasty with her. You know?
Remove this slave!
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You get 150 of the most powerful people in the world meeting. Royalty, the heads of the Fortune 60. And they are scared to death of citizens, just like G20. They'll have a public G20 meeting, and then behind the scenes, the elite flies in and they meet in these hotel ballrooms. But Bilderberg is one of the oldest continual meetings of this committee of 300. And Charlie Skelton is finishing up his report to us, London Guardian reporter. We've got links on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com to this event. So you were talking about the day they shut it down, you and your wife being the last people in the hotel. You go into, to the nerve center where they're setting up computers and tables. I've witnessed this myself, being thrown out in Virginia when they met in 2008. And they start, because I had all my camera guys split up, and they were, get out of here. Who are you? Get him. Give me that camera. And then we basically got chased out of the hotel finally at the end. But finish up with the boldness of your Frau Skelton, and then let's get into any other things that happened.
Yeah, no, just what I was just saying, that, they had a go at her, and they were, they looked at her like a slug had suddenly landed on their lettuce. And, my wife said, this isn't a very friendly hotel. And this woman, just said, no, it is not a friendly hotel. And they threw her out, and so we got lost. But before that had all happened, she'd managed to creep behind, this is on the previous day, she was sitting behind the pool, some ladies who were running through the biography info of the various participants, and she took some photos over their shoulder. And this is exactly, I don't know if you know the scene from Rear Window when Jimmy Stewart's looking at
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, yeah, and Grace Kelly's opposite the way, and the guy's coming back, and I'm across the pool and splashing about in the pool trying to make as much noise so that they don't hear the camera clicks, and she's looking over the shoulder, and she got some good names, And
Hold on. Have you posted this on The Guardian yet?
I posted the list of names, I have, yes. I didn't post how we got it.
Oh, so now you're telling us.
Yes.
How about the photos? Because, you know, right now this is hot. Please get it on The Guardian immediately. Oh, please.
Or I can send you the photos. I mean, they're a bit blurry. We spent a long time deciphering it.
No, that's okay. Listen, anything you want posted that you think they don't have the nerve to do, because I know you're paying for a lot of this on your own, we are happy to post it. So, I mean, because I know you're doing some stuff outside of The Guardian. I'm going to give you a key email coming up as we let you go here going into break to get this up. Charlie Skelton, you're amazing. And we're going to get you on Monday or Tuesday after you've gotten back home to the U.K. and had time to rest to kind of, you know, in the aftermath, give us your full view. But we are very thankful to you and your wife's courage. Any other tidbits that you've forgotten to tell us?
Well, I tell you, there's a nice little human story, which is that they were sitting around at dinner and and they were saying they had a bit of a problem because one of the participants demanded a smoking room. And they said, but it's a non-smoking hotel. And they were trying to work out how to get around this. And so one of them pointed out that the smoking ban hasn't actually fully come in for the next few days. So they got under the wire. I think they're okay. But it was very, there's some human stories as well in all of this.
Also shows how these globalists are obsessed with their own little neurotic rules when any normal person would just ignore the smoking ban. These are neurotic people. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I mean, I'm going to hopefully get some more on that story of the policeman who switched sides, which would be great. And generally speaking, the police have been good. And I'd like to say that, you know, they've picked a strange place to do this, Catalonia, where they're quite independent and they don't really like the Spanish overlords, never mind global overlords. So we're getting a lot of kind looks from the police and a lot of. You know, when they're saying to us, you know, we're just doing our job, they give us a little sort of roll of the eyes because they really, a lot of them, and some of them have said outright, they're going, look, off the record, I'm with you. I don't like the guys up the hill, but, unfortunately, I have to do this.
Charlie Skelton, just amazing, amazing. Bilderberg 2010, you're going to be filing a new report today, tomorrow, at The Guardian. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I'm going to put you on hold and give you the secret squirrel email if you want to send us that information. And any attributions you'd like, please add it. And we'll talk to you again coming up next week. God bless you. We'll be back with Bob Chapman.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, Jim Tucker is popping in at the start of the next hour at Bilderberg 2010. This is really shaking up the global elite. Joining us is former military intelligence, one of the biggest private silver and gold broker. Had the largest newsletter until he retired. He's come back with it in the last decade and been a staple of this transmission, Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com. Now, in this hour with Bob Chapman, I want to hit on a bunch of other economic news, Korea news, Israel news with the flotilla, just a bunch of important info. But I wanted to, out of the gates, just remind listeners, especially those watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, go up to PrisonPlanet.tv, burn Endgame, Invisible Empire, you know, my films on the disc and give them to people. It's really good quality. It's not total DVD quality, but it plays on DVD players. And people are ready to see Endgame and learn about the world government and their master plan. They're ready to see Invisible Empire that covers, you know, the latest world government information. So important. Yes, you know all about this, listeners. But the general public doesn't know about the 10th and 9th Amendment and state sovereignty and the difference between democracy and republic and how we're getting sheriffs elected and taking our country back and how all the incumbents are being thrown out in every election now in all these off-year elections and primaries. The globalists are in trouble. Get Don't Tread on Me, Endgame, Invisible Empire at Infowars.com. Order the hard copy DVD with the expanded extras. And it's great to give us a gift, the high-quality, you know, DVD and the best quality. Or just go in guerrilla warfare to PrisonPlanet.tv, 15 cents a day. Download it, burn it to disk, air it on Access TV. Get it out to everyone. Every person you reach is vital. Now, to illustrate this, I'm not going to have time to play it today, but in Paul Joseph Watson's, I've never put the entire speech up. I knew the speech was important that I did in front of Bilderberg. They sent out Richard C. Holbrook, top globalist, even in Obama's administration. He was coming to speak to us, and I screamed at him and said, Holbrook, get over here! And he said, forget it, at about 100 yards away, and we've got video, and turned and walked. I should have been nice. because he's this big ambassador. He was going to, I guess, come try to, oh, come on, guys, stop bullhorning us. I mean, this would have been a rare first Bilderberg reaching out, but that was an example of me, not very diplomatic, like, just like, but the issue is we ran back to the hotel. The guys, and just 4 years ago, so it was a lot less, you know, techie, they quickly grabbed the video low res so we could, you know, upload it to YouTube. And that's the old video that's all over the web, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of views. The one Paul linked to only has a few thousand, you know, that variant. I've got all the footage of the whole first half of my speech because of file size and speed. I've got thousands of hours of incredible footage of everything you can imagine. I've never even aired. I need to, like, I don't have the money to hire somebody just to dump it all to prisonplanet.tv. You know, that's the answer. I need to just somehow, because we're trying to raise the capital here to finish the studio and do all this, to just have an employee who just grabs raw video and interviews. I mean, I've got rooms full of DV cam tapes and just dump this treasure trove up there. But the point is, I want to get Bob Chapman's take on this because it dovetails with our discussion last week. Bilderberg 2010, the security lockdown begins. This is London Guardian. Give me a screenshot of this. Thank you. And in it, he's there the night before it shuts, and you can see top Bilderberg staff at the hotel wearing certain badges. And I've been there and been thrown out as well as they shut. And they're at dinner, and here's this reporter with his wife who came over from England to cover it, and he's hearing him go, oh, yes, Alex Jones, he's very frightening. 2006, they bullhorned us. They may try to attack us this time. Oh, many of the delegates didn't show up this time because they're scared. Oh, my Lord, it's so deadly. So that goes back to Brzezinski 3 weeks ago saying, for the first time the whole world's awake, the global government's in trouble. And some said, oh, he's playing possum. No, he's there being a realist saying, we are in trouble. He's one of the top strategists in the world for these people. I mean, he's there, world government extraordinaire. You know, brags he ran the Khmer Rouge operation, you know, killing 30% of Cambodia. He brags that he got our government to fund that. This is a very wicked person, Obama's top foreign advisor on geopolitical strategies. And, you know, he said, we are in great danger. So they are not invincible. They are in trouble. And then he talked to Tucker, whose source said, yes, they're scared. This is the first time a bunch of delegates didn't show up. And then major German and Spanish papers at a press conference followed Bill Gates, who flew in, the eugenicist. This is up on prisonplanet.com. He had a whole fake medical conference as his cover. It wasn't real. So they caught up with him, and he admitted he was here for Bilderberg. So this is getting insane. I mean, they are scared. And Skelton said that Spanish police, because Catalonia, you know, has always been rebellious against tyranny, a lot of rebellions there, very beautiful area if you study the history, and the people are very independent, you know, like Americans and others, very rebellious folks, that police were coming across the line and joining the people. And I saw footage where protesters were shoving police, and the police were being nice and friendly and saying, please, you know, you can read their lips, you know, I'm with you, and the protesters would back off. And usually Spanish police would beat the daylights out of you. They're known for being vicious, more than many. Very, you know, they'll shoot you. But no, the police are even letting people attack them, basically. So, Bob Chapman, this is incredible, is it not?
It certainly is, and Catalonia is one of the great places of Spain. I also like down the coast at Marbella and Terrapolinas and Malaga, but and I'm a big fan of Barcelona, the football team. But they couldn't have been stupider than to have that conference in Catalonia near Barcelona on the north of the coast. As you well know, Danny Estlin's over there, and Danny's a Spanish citizen. And I think that we're going to end up getting far more out of this meeting than we have ever gotten before, because he speaks the same language as the people who work there. And I am sure he has convinced a number of them to feed him information.
Well, he also just addressed a large portion of the parliament over there, Farage and others, and one of the Italian EU members got him in to address them. And so it's now in hundreds of newspapers and television stations. Mario Bergoglio, so this is huge.
That's right. It is huge. And people who didn't know, although most people don't realize that Europeans are very sophisticated politically, and they've known of this sort of thing and other things that are akin to it have been going on for many years. And they've had such problems in Europe with one war after another that they tend to stay apart from it and say, look, I just want to live, leave me alone. I don't want to get shot at. You know, I don't want another war. And you got to understand where they're coming from. And they've had terrible times. I mean, the 1920s and 30s in Europe were dreadful. And it's no wonder people like Stalin and Mussolini and Hitler came to power. Of course, as we all know, they were financed from the UK and the US, etc. But they made a mistake. I think Danny's going to come up with piles of stuff.
Well, we know Tucker already is, but expanding in that, let's talk about your take on the fact that they are so scared, and for the first time ever, a bunch of attendees didn't show up, and they're literally the night before they shut it, the head organizers are like, Bilderberg minions are, oh, they're scary, Alex Jones, oh. I mean, this mindset that we're like these dangerous devils.
Well, everything we do is literal. We do it over the radio, and of course we publish, and they can't stand the truth. And you and I have been talking about this for months on end, and especially telling was what you brought up again about Brzezinski and his commentary at the CFR meeting in Montreal. They're terrified because there's no way back for them. The question is, how can I get out of all this? There's only one way. They've got to have a major war, and it's coming. And it could have been that the incidents with North Korea and Israel could have been precursors to that. Now, we got another ship going in now. I think it's from Ireland. And are the Turkish warships going to escort this vessel, as we have heard?
Yeah, that's another issue. We learned this American got shot four times in the head. You've got all these other aid ships coming in. The Turks are now saying they're going to at least break ties with Israel, and they've now confirmed they are sending in warships. So the prime minister, like we have that clip, it's up on InfoWars and Prison Planet, it's in Turkish, but he just said, you know, we're now basically your enemy, Israel, and you're a bunch of liars, and we're sick of your lies. So the whole world is really turning against Israel.
And I want to, most of you people don't know this because you're younger, and I'm older, and the Turks are renowned as fighters. Maybe the Israeli Defense Force is very, very good, but I certainly wouldn't want to tangle with them. And when we had the Korean conflict, as it was called, and was run by the UN, so that the enemy knew everything we were going to do until MacArthur said, well, I've had enough of that, and made the Incheon landing and just absolutely destroyed the Chinese and the North Koreans. But every time they would send Americans into the line, they would put the Australians on one side of them and the Turks on the other. And both of them were very, very anxious and adept at putting their bayonets on their rifles and going after the enemy. And the Turks have to draw blood. And if they can't get somebody to draw blood on, it's their own. And so they're quite ferocious people when it comes to warfare.
Well, that's because it was Constantinople and was a constant scene of warfare for thousands of years, then the heart of the Ottoman Empire. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. As Turkey and Israel collide towards confrontation, the North Korean Peninsula is heating up. Their ambassador is saying, get ready for war. We'll discuss it all on the other side with Bob Chapman. Paul Dornanu, a Romanian journalist that gave us incredible video and photos from Bilderberg Group 2007, speaking of Turkey, in Istanbul, just amazing footage and photos. He just sent us a bunch of photos that are going up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com in the next 20 minutes. He'll be joining us in the last 30 minutes today. Nigel Farage, who narrowly survived that plane crash on Election Day, the head of the UK Independence Party, will be joining us, member of the European Union Parliament, to talk about a host of issues. But going back to Bob Chapman, looking at this Israel situation, I even had former, Mossad spy master on yesterday to get his take. Even this guy, of course, he was in the Washington Post criticizing the raid, calling it so stupid, it's stupefying, saying, what is Israel thinking? Any way you cut it, men coming into a ship at night in the international waters, shooting an American four times in the head. I mean, Israel has been supported by this country. It's been seen as the underdog when the Arabs attacked it over and over again, but they're really losing that underdog status. But Israel's not going anywhere. That's the thing. They're saying, we got 400 nukes, and we don't care what the world says. And now neocons in the U.S. are saying in the New York Times, well, we may just have to nuke. Israel may just nuke Iran first. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, is Israel going to start World War III?
Could very well be. And I don't think they do much of anything without consulting the people who run things out of New York and London, and particularly in this case, New York and Washington. And I think that in order to go ahead with such an operation, and it really was very poorly planned, I think they were looking for an excuse to get a war started. And of course, the Turkish ships come in with the aid ships, and Israel decides to fire on them. You got a third world war going. It's really as simple as that. I mean, we had First World War, Archduke Ferdinand get assassinated. All it took was one bullet, and the game was on.
And the U.S. got brought into World War I by the sinking of the Lusitania, running the German U-boat blockade.
Loaded with munitions, with people upstairs. And so these things just don't happen. They're planned. And we've seen a succession of events that could be called either false flag or leading events. And I think that's what this Israel thing could very well be, because I think that they're ready to go ahead with their war, if not they're close to it. And I've been talking about it for a long time, but never putting a date on it because I didn't know. But this indicates to me that the possibility this could be a catalytic event. And
Viktor Ostrovsky,
a terrible situation going on in Europe, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
Well, Viktor Ostrovsky, basically agreed with you yesterday, saying governments, when they're in trouble, like to start wars. And every time you've got a global meltdown, there's a new war. And Israel's got all these scandals going right now in the Knesset. And so does the Mossad chief, and so does Netanyahu. And so, yeah, they may just want to start a war as a diversion, like Clinton sending cruise missiles into an African aspirin factory.
Yeah, exactly. And, they might have called up Washington and said, hey, look, we got all these problems going on, and explained them. And Washington and New York probably said, well, we understand that. So let's get the war on. I mean, you got all these problems in Europe. The Austrian president didn't attend the Bilderberger meeting. They may be getting set to front run and default. I mean, we don't even know. And we've got five other countries there that are up for grabs as far as devaluation or leaving the euro or defaulting.
What did you make of the British? Because you talked about it a few months ago. You said, look to England to try to scuttle Europe. I mean, is that good advice that top British companies are giving Greece? And now they're even telling Spain, hey, just go ahead and default?
Right. And I think that is part of the opening salvo on the part of England to try to resurrect itself. And they're in just a monstrous trouble. And the way for them to get out is they don't belong to the Eurozone, for those of you who don't know. They have their pound, which is their currency, but they belong to the European Union. And I think, and I've projected this before, a way for England to try to begin to escape this lock that they've been thrown into would be to start getting their industries going again and start rebuilding manufacturing-wise. In order to do that, they're going to have to leave the EU because they're going to have to leave the World Trade Organization.
All right, stay there. We got to go to break. I want to come back and get into the economy here at home. All right, we got Mr. Dornanu from Romania covering Bilderberg in Spain popping in the last 20 minutes or so. Jim Tucker coming up, popping in as well. We've got Nigel Farage, former head of the UK Independence Party, current member of the European Union Parliament, almost died in a plane crash, very mysterious. He'll give us his take on the state of the meltdown in Europe. A lot of Americans send me emails and say, why should I care about Europe plunging? That means I'll get ahead. How somebody somewhere in history got the idea in their mind that plunging economies somewhere in the world helps us. That's not how the world works. When your neighbor's doing better, you're going to do better. But they've taught people in the modern age that when people do bad, you somehow get ahead. I, you know, it's like there's a sum set, like there's one pizza in the world, and whoever gets a piece, you know, how about we build a pizza factory? Unlimited pizza. Yeah, I run into this denial, like, so what if the stock market plunges, or so what if the dollar devalues? Well, that'll destroy your future, even if you don't own stocks. Everything you do is connected to those stocks. I mean, they've designed a financial system that must be reversed if we're going to have any future. We'll talk about that with Bob Chapman here in just a moment, go over a bunch of news with him. But before I do that, I wanted to thank a few of the sponsors that have made today's radio broadcast possible. One of them is frontsight.com, like the front of your rifle, frontsight.com. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearms training waiting for you. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Frontsight's Firearm Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XT pistol in the caliber of your choice. I believe now is the time for you and your family to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Frontsight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot is paying his own money to help you get this. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it. You should, too. Don't miss out. Go to frontsight.com today. That's frontsight.com and receive your free gun. And lastly, I love this sponsor. My wife, every time we run out, this is one vitamin mineral supplement she makes sure that she reorders. And we've been using it, I don't know, 5 years now or so. Inner Health Botanicals. You've heard of green foods. Well, this is the best. Raw, unpasteurized, superfoods, innerfood.com, E-N-E-R-food.com, or 866-762-9238. Inner Health Botanicals, a fantastic company that's been sponsoring us for years, have been providing products for the past 5 years that give you the perfect solution to keeping your body healthy. Try the Inner Food with 20 organic ingredients full of dense nutrition that gives you energy and keeps you well. It even won the best superfood of 2009 with our friend Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Try their NutriCafe amazing organic coffee infused with herbal extracts to boost your immune system. Now, that's something you don't see in store shelves every day. Innerfood.com, check them out, or give them a call right now at 866-762-9238 and check out their website at Infowars.com. They have a full line of amazing products. That's Innerfood.com or 866-762-9238. Okay, Bob, thanks for holding while I plug those sponsors. Going back to you, now it's not Bob Chapman 2 years ago talking about the plunge of Europe starting in Greece and then Spain and Portugal and other places. Now it's all over the news, total collapse. But some people think that the U.S. is going to escape this. Can you explain to people, because Europe cheered when we plunged 2 years ago to the bankers, and then now some Americans are cheering. This is like gouging one of your eyes out and the right eye laughing at the left eye. I mean, can you explain that to people?
Well, what they've done is they've created interconnectivity, and it's been put in place throughout the entire world over the past 30 years. And what that means is every time there's an action, there's a reaction. And it's good if everybody does well. If, as you said, one party gets in trouble, that's not to your advantage. It's to your ultimate disadvantage. We'll take a good example. The pound just dropped from 150 to 120. That means that goods that are expressed in euros are going to be cheaper, maybe 12, 15% cheaper. Who is the biggest exporter in Europe? Germany. They're going to make out from that. But on the other hand, because of the drop in their currency, the amount that they pay for imported goods, such as oil, energy products, is going to go up. And so what Germany is doing right now, knowing that is going to be the case, they are implementing austerity cuts. They're not expanding or anything like that because they know that their costs are going to go up.
All right, Bob, I've got to interrupt. I apologize. We've been working on getting Jim Tucker on, and he's going to come on now for about 10 minutes. Can I have you on hold and then keep you a little bit into the next hour?
Of course.
Okay, good, because this is developing and moving, and what you were talking about is so important, and you've been so dead on, theinternationalforecaster.com. We're now joined by the granddaddy of exposing the Bilderberg Group, and he's got to be proud of himself, 33, 34 years, covering it, going to every conference, being shot at in Portugal, you name it, being harassed, being arrested, being detained, going from the New York Times and Time Magazine just 10 years ago saying he was a nut and it didn't exist, to hundreds of newspapers, Germany, England, Australia, Spain, where the global government leaders are meeting. It is now mainstream news, and he's got moles inside, and he's there on the ground outside Barcelona as the world government meets. Jim Tucker, good to have you on with us.
Oh, always fun.
Jim, I know you're busy and exhausted, but...
Just reach down and grab my satchel because I got information you want. Just bear with me a minute.
Yeah, and literally, folks, he's so mobbed by reporters, and he is not a spring chick, as they say, and he literally has been fighting to even get to his hotel room for about 30 minutes just to even be on with us. So we just got him as he got to his room, and he's getting his satchel. He wasn't quite ready, and we're going to get him to give us his, because he's got the real. Some people claim they have Bilderberg sources. He's got them on the inside and on the outside, so this is a big scoop we're about to get. Jim, do you have your satchel?
Yes, now I'm ready.
Okay, sir, give us the lowdown. Who's attending, what the agenda is, what your huge breaking news is, and, of course, the newspaper is American Free Press, AmericanFreePress.net. Go ahead.
Okay. One very interesting development, which is encouraging, is that some of the major Bilderberg people are saying that many, quote, important people, quote, are not attending this year. They always find out, and we get in trouble at home. Politicians who are embarrassed when constituents call and say, why are you dealing with these monsters and so forth? That's a fun thing. They're also celebrating the fact that your president of Obama has signed off on the international treaty, which would allow the UN to come into your house and take your gun away, a European bureaucrat. It's some kind of treaty called the National Guns Treaty or something under the UN.
Yeah, it's a small arms ban treaty. So they're pushing that at this disgusting, treasonous event.
Absolutely. And the evil thing about this, he might pull a little George Bush and say it's not a treaty, it's just an agreement. But if it's a treaty, as you know, under our Constitution, the treaty is the superior law of the land. That's why George Washington said, don't have any treaties. Don't have enemies. Be neutral. Be friendly with all nations, but partial to none.
Well, Jim, to expand on that, what about the euro? Do they want to plunge the euro to bring in the SDR, or are they there trying to prop up the euro?
Oh, they're determined to save the euro, and they're nervous about it, though, of course, with the economic crisis. But the euro is important because it's part of their world government program. They're very discouraged, thank goodness. They're very downbeat because they've fallen so far behind. As I said before, in the 1990s, Bilderberg was absolutely confident that we'd have an American Union patterned after the European Union, and the Asian Pacific Union would be well underway. And they've fallen back, they've fallen behind, and they're very discouraged, but they're still persisting on climate change, as futile as that might be. As you know, the real scientists have shown and demonstrated, we're talking about climatologists, experts in the field, who are...
They got caught in climate gate. They know it's a fraud. It's about taking over resources. So you're saying that's a big agenda. What about Bill Gates in attendance? We know he's always pushing eugenics and climate change. The Spanish newspapers are reporting that they caught up with him trying to basically sneak in, claiming he was in Barcelona for something else, and then he said he's there to push climate taxes.
Yes, he is. And he's attended one Bilderberg meeting in the past, and... this is his second Bilderberg meeting, and definitely they're going to push the climate change, even though they're so far behind on that, with the scientists, letters proving this whole thing is a fraud. In fact, one Bilderberg guy was said that on climate change, we are about whipped. That's quote on climate change.
We're about whipped. Incredible. Incredible breaking news. And when will we be able to read this in detail at AmericanFreePress.net?
It's a very I'm not sure how fast they get things on the internet. I'm not high tech. I'm a romanticist.
Okay, but I mean, more details will be there, and we're very appreciative of the newspaper allowing you to share your huge scoops with us. Again, the granddaddy of exposing this arm of the global government right up at the top of the pyramid. Jim Tucker, I talked to Charlie Skelton of the London Guardian, who was there when they kicked him out. He overheard the head organizers saying they were mad at me for bullhorning them, that they were scared. And he said that dovetailed with your intel. This is the first time ever that a bunch of them haven't attended because they're scared of being associated with Bilderberg. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's a fact. Came to me from a source who knows the Bilderberg people. He's done business with him. When I first talked to him about Bilderberg 20-some years ago, he said, oh, Pete Sutherland, yes. He's an international financial consultant. I dare not go beyond that in describing him, but he's helped us find Bilderberg over the years. He's confirmed events and so forth, and they are determined to push climate change. There's more, let's see, I'm scanning through notes here, but they're doing more propaganda on alleged climate change even as we speak. And a consumer note, of course, British Petroleum is, and all the Shell and the other big international oil companies have long been Bilderberg luminaries, and they are competitors, but they're still a brotherhood. So they have agreed to allow Obama to be outraged and talk about criminal procedures against BP, but he's also referred to as one of our brothers among the oil industry, which has long been heavily represented.
So it's going to be a bunch of talk like the AIG charges they've now dropped in the Goldman Sachs, much ado about nothing, putting on a show. What about oil prices? What about the dollar? I mean, it sounds like from your past reportage, they're going from being in control and planning the future to just trying to maintain control.
They're trying to maintain control. Now, their plan is for the... gas prices go down and be nice and cheap this summer. In the months ahead, they're to go up to $4 a gallon, starting probably around November, some such time. They're saying that we have to do some pacification here. But then, that's why they still maintain production. only 80%, not 100% of easy capacity. So for every 100 barrels that could be produced today, only 80 barrels are being produced to generate a future shortage. There's no shortage at the moment.
Yeah, they're creating artificial scarcity. Jim, such precious time with you. What does this mean? I mean, how big is this that quite a few members, and do you have any intel on you know, basic numbers? I mean, what percentage? 10%? 20%? I mean, this is obviously a crisis if they can't get their luminaries there.
You want to roll down list of confirmed participants so far?
Well, I mean, any notables? We know who the regulars are, but is there any notable politician being groomed, like Mr. Cameron, who was groomed a few years ago?
Let's see. We know that Gessner was to be in South Korea for the G20 Friday and Saturday. He may show up on Sunday or Monday, but nevertheless, Larry Summers will be there, now an advisor to your president. Let's see, do you need more names?
No, that's fine. Let me shift gears again. What about Iran? Anything about Iran? Israel's got nuke subs. They're saying they may attack. You've had the attack on the flotilla. The Israel-Iran flotilla. Anything on that?
Yes, on the flotilla thing. They're a little bit skittish about that now, and Bilderberg is not 100% in favor of U.S. airstrikes on Iran, but many of them are. Wars generate money, no matter what the war, good guys, bad guys, or whatever. In all of our wars, we've had profiteering scandals on both sides. In most wars, there's no all white hats against all black hats. But in World War II, during the American Civil War, you had price gouging on war profiteering on both sides.
Sure, they finance both sides. So, I mean, is it leaning towards war or against it?
It's leaning toward war, but Bilderberg is not 100% in favor. Some in Europe say, no, we shouldn't do it. But most of them are in favor of American airstrikes against Iran and whimpering that Iran's got these massive nuclear weapons. They threaten Israel. Well, Israel's had nuclear weapons since 1962. First revealed by longtime Bilderberger, the late George Ball, in the Washington Post op-ed thing way back in the 60s. And he's announced that Israel does have nuclear weapons, and there's some speculation that the assassination of President Kennedy may in some way reflect the fact that Kennedy was pressuring Israel to disarm. Israel has never joined the Non-Proliferation Treaty. They do not admit nor deny that they have nuclear weapons.
Okay, but to be clear, I mean, you in 2002, you said Donald Graham of the Washington Post was there. He lied and said the attack would be in 02. You said March of 03, a year before. You were right with precision, more than a year before. Because last year and the year before, you said Iran was not on the burner. You're saying they are close to green lighting? I mean, be specific, Jim. This is big from your Bilderberg sources. You're saying they are moving towards green lighting, or it has been green lighted?
They're tilting heavily toward green lighting a U.S. attack on Iran. They're not 100% in agreement, but the majority of the Bilderberg kids favor U.S. airstrikes on Iran. And there will be some war profiteering. And when you spill the lifeblood of our young men and the heart's blood of our women, you make money.
Plus, isn't that a political diversion during their banking looting?
It has that virtue, too. It's also a diversion. But you also make money on... These are guys in manufacturing. You make money when you're making tanks and airplanes and other or material.
Yes, command destruction. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm only going to keep you a few more minutes because I know you're busy, Jim, and once you're back in the U.S. and have written your articles, we'll have you up for a full debriefing, and we're very, very honored to have you here with us. And I do owe you a carton of cigarettes for the last time you were on the road for using up all your cell phone minutes. But I did deliver the cigarettes last time for the cell phone minutes. I'm just joking, folks. But to be serious, anything else that's really important people need to know? Was there any time frame on the attack on Iran? Are they concerned and upset about the awakening like Brzezinski talked about a few weeks ago?
Brzezinski... we think it's going to be here. Again, they're struggling for unity on the issue and tilt is heavily in favor of war. And also they're saying that the United States must be Europeanized, which means welfare and health rationing, as they do in Canada and throughout the European Union, where you're paying well over 50% of your taxes in to their national government.
And so domestication, they want to domesticate us further.
Pardon?
They want to domesticate us further.
Yes. We've got to be Europeanized. We have to have their system of welfare for you to retire at 55. Well, someday I'll be 55. Well, I'm 75. I'm 75, but it'd be a horrible thing to happen to this country to come under the European style health care. Well, European style of total socialism, for that matter.
All right, Jim, I want to have Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com, who's with us once a week, and we're breaking into his interview to have you here, but he's a big fan of yours. And so I want him to be able to ask you a question, and then I've got one final question for you. Bob Chapman, I'd like to hear what any questions you've got for the legendary Jim Tucker.
Well, I think the most important question that he's answered is that they're very concerned about the euro, and my take is that they're in for a big surprise. I think it's going to come unglued. We had discussed earlier before Jim came on about the possibility of an event being created with the Israeli incident in regard to the Gaza aid ships. And it could be the catalyst. And as Jim said, the majority is in favor of going into Iran. And if Brzezinski gets there, he'll be howling to go into Iran. Don't you think so, Jim?
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, he's been an architect of the goals throughout the Middle East and into the geopolitical outflanking of Russia.
Now, that's a great point. I'm gonna hold you over because we're about to let Jim go and get some final comments from Bob Chapman here at the end. But Jim Tucker, anything else you haven't told us that is important to be relayed to the public? I mean, I hope people are paying very close attention to what you have to say because you have real sources. You don't just make stuff up and say that it came from Bilderberg sources, as some have been known to do. I mean, you really have these sources, and it's been proven year after year. These are some incredible developments you brought up. Any other points quickly, but also I just want to ask, so they do have a sense of losing control. Do they think they can save their euro? Is their world government in trouble? This sounds like great news.
Oh, yes, it is. They're far behind schedule on the world government. But they are calling for an international bank tax to be administered by the IMF, which has become the future World Treasury Department. So international bank tax, where the Federal Trade Commission could say all these banks will pay a certain tax. Of course, it'll make it up in their higher charges on interest rates and so forth. It's not their own money, really short money.
And that's a way to shut down the smaller banks. And in fact, you've been talking about that for 20 years as being on their agenda. They're now proposing a global government run by the IMF and World Bank that we all pay taxes to.
Yes, global global Treasury Department under the IMF, and the bank taxes. Oh, that's to address the economic crisis, of course. They say that's the rationale.
So yeah, overall, I would sure you say this is the most downbeat Bilderberg in the history of the Bilderberg?
I would say so, yes. When certain, quote, important people, unquote, are not coming because of the flack they get at home, because all these people are exposing us. We get all this mail, get all these calls. That's just wonderful. I hope these very important people suffer like they deserve to suffer.
So they're very upset by the exposure, thanks to you and others. Well, Jim, it's got to feel good 33, 34 years later to see this mighty harvest of awakening.
Yes, it will be. Like you said, we'll get together when I get home.
All right, Jim Tucker, AmericanFreePress.net. People can subscribe there, get a hard copy, or read it online. Thank you for giving us time. We appreciate you joining us, Jim.
My pleasure, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, we're going to come back with Bob Chapman. You know, I thought it was one of his first interviews, but it's his first interview since the plane crash that almost killed him. Nigel Farage coming up in 8 minutes. I apologize to Bob Chapman for having him run over by Tucker, but that interview was kind of not timed right because so much is going on. But I know Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com understands. Go there, get a free copy of the Forecaster, and of course we'll have a full hour with him next week. You were trying to finish up the banking collapses taking place, but they've also been caught hiring between 400 and 500. Now they're saying, some are saying a million census people a month, and then firing them each month as temporary, and then skewing the numbers to show that is separate jobs. So give us your take on that and where the economy's going in the next 4 minutes.
Well, the take is exactly as you described it. They're falsifying the data. It's just another way of doing it. I have a piece in tomorrow's issue which describes how dreadful the figures that were just released are, and most people don't realize it because they don't follow the intricacies of how those figures are made up that go into the employment report. But they were bad, and that's being reflected. The Dow is down right now 315 points, and it's going to get worse. And it's on low volume, which tells you that it'll probably go down rather quickly. From here, it's below 10,000. The whole thing is a masquerade in employment. The recovery, whatever there was of a recovery, is over. We're on our way down. Otherwise, Larry Summers the other day wouldn't have asked for $200 billion, and the legislature passed a $73 billion extension of unemployment benefits. They're looking for $500 billion. They're looking for the Fed to come in with another $1.5 trillion. The economy cannot continue to go even sideways without that kind of infusion. And they're going to have to come up with it. And what's going to happen? We're going to have eventually hyperinflation. First, more inflation that they're going to have to admit to, too. Not the real figures, but they'll have to admit to it.
Bob?
One of the things I wanted to say was that Jim Tucker and I were together at the Spotlight. I was a financial editor back when it started, and now it's the American Free Press. So we go back a long way. What were you going to say?
No, you were talking. I actually suddenly lost audio for a moment, so I'm sorry I was interrupting. It seems like even when I'm trying to not interrupt, I'm hell-bent on it. But finish up about Jim, the point you were making.
Oh, yeah, Jim and I, he was the editor of the Spotlight, and I used to do the financial column along with G. Gordon Tether back in the early days of getting the word out, so to speak. And now,
is there nothing you haven't done anywhere in the Patriot community? You've had your hands in it. That's good.
Well, you know, I was, I saw what was going on. I understood the problem. I got outside the box. I had been trained well. I had a great education. I worked in counterintelligence. I lived all over the world. I spoke several languages. I had everything in the world going for me, and I used it. And I'm still using it. I'm not going to give up until I can't walk or talk anymore.
Well, Bob Chapman, we haven't won this fight. That much is clear. But you can really see the tide shifting. And to hear from a Guardian prestigious, that's one of the most prestigious papers in the world, saying he was there as they were kicking people out and saw head security people talking about how horrified they were of me, like I was a 100-foot goblin. I mean, that just shows these people are not invincible, Bob.
And not people not showing up is very telling. That means that they don't want the exposure. They are undecided whether their program for world government is going to work. Some of them have already admitted that it's not, and Brzezinski's one of them. He knows they've got to have war in order to just survive. And they're not going to survive because if we have a war, and once it's over, we're going to drag all these people up to Nuremberg-type trials and try them just like they did the Nazis.
Powerful info, Bob Chapman. We'll talk to you again next Friday, Lord willing. Thanks for spending time with us.
Okay, bye-bye.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, Nigel Farage, the former head of the UK Independence Party, the fastest growing party in the UK, member of the European Parliament. He ran for the UK Parliament and barely lost against the Speaker position. And on the day of the election, his aircrafts tipped end over end, nearly killing him and the pilot. And we were just talking during the break. This is his first interview. And he'd also just coinciding, his book is now published. It's now available at Amazon.com. It's Fighting Bull. The Fighting Toro, Nigel Farage, Fighting Bull. And it's him with a bullhorn on the front with the British flag, Union Jack, I guess, as an umbrella over his shoulder. Nigel Farage, Farage spelled F-A-R-A-G-E, Fighting Bull, great name, and how he's taking on the globalists, the unelected Eurocrats that now make 70%+ of the laws in the U.K. Our fight against the New World Order is ongoing. Mr. Farage, it is great to have you here, sir. You've got nine lives.
Just amazing. Anybody listening to this that sees the pictures of the crash, which I'm sure you can get and put up on your site, and these incredible photographs of me lying in the wreckage of this light aircraft crash, and you'd have thought for all the world I'd be dead. And whilst I've been badly injured, it really has been the most miraculous escape. It really has.
Folks are wondering, I mean, I know you've got a stiff upper lip and don't want to talk about yourself, but, the pilot, how he's doing and what your injuries were.
Well, the pilot was a former Royal Air Force trained pilot, so, no cowboy. I mean, a proper chap. It was a genuine accident. In life, accidents happen. You can't insulate yourself against this. When you have an impact injury such as we had, lots of unpleasant things happen. Justin, the pilot, had lacerations and cuts and broken bones, and he's also got some bad skin problems. He's going to need skin grafts and whatever. And I finished up with 10 broken bones in my upper body. So sternum broken, fractures to the spine, mercifully not huge ones, and virtually every rib front and back broken, plus a punctured lung. So, a pretty comprehensive list of injuries. Facially, a few cuts on the face, but nothing too awful. But mercifully, no real head injuries. So if those awful, ghastly Eurocrats that want to take over my country and destroy our democracy think they've got rid of me, they've got another thing coming, because it may take me a few months to get better, but I'm going to be back fighting them.
Absolutely, and I was saying, you're such a champion of liberty. If we have to, we'll just stick you in a Darth Vader, iron lung and roll you out against the enemy.
I'm going to be back, and one of the really interesting things, I mean, since I had this accident, is the one great prediction that I've had over the years was that this attempt to take countries like Greece and Germany and to force them together in a single monetary union. I've been saying for over 10 years that it wouldn't work. And whilst I've been laid up in hospital and back here at home recovering, of course, we're now seeing the collapse of that monetary system. We're seeing riots on the street in Greece. We've seen people die.
And by the way, to interrupt, and I'm going to give you the floor, sir, in the time we have, you giving speeches 2 years ago, predicted all of this. You, just a few months ago, excoriated Herman Von Rumpy, the unelected dictator, openly calling for world government. And now their arrogance has evaporated. The London Guardian reported that the Bilderberg Group has said that they're afraid of protesters and afraid of me by name. So they're just horrified that the public is now identifying them. So how did you predict all this, A, and then, B, go into the state of Europe right now?
Well, before I was in politics, I had a job in the real world. For 20 years, I worked on the foreign exchange and commodity market. So, I have some idea of how the global economy actually works. And it really exists, Alex, because things are different. You know, things are different. Individual countries have their own currency. They have their own interest rates. And they're able to adapt and adjust to changing global markets and changing conditions. When you try and pretend, as part of your attempt at firstly European government, but leading on to global government, that actually we're all the same, and that we can all come under the same umbrella. All of my experience told me that it couldn't work. Everything told me that the German economy was a different economy to the Greek economy, and that those guys joining together in a monetary union 10 years ago couldn't work. So I've been predicting disaster consistently over the course of the last 10 years, and now it really is happening. And if ever there was an example of why bureaucratic control, of why people who've got their dreams and their plans, just like the communists, of course, let's not forget, because they operated on exactly the same basis. If ever there was an example of why this is mad, bad, dangerous, and will lead to civil war, you're seeing it in Europe right now.
Yeah, a bunch of unelected bureaucrats. For those that don't know, they're exempt from their own EU taxes. Briefly explain, as if you're talking to six-year-olds, me, because I want it simply, how you have an elected parliament, but it is a ceremonial vassal to the bureaucracy that has the real power.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Palace of Westminster, and I know that you guys in the States often watch our Prime Minister's Questions, and you see this magnificent Gothic building, and just a couple of weeks ago, the Queen arrived in her carriage to open Parliament, and it all looks magnificent, and the relationship between the monarch and the Parliament, it all goes back to the English Civil War, and it's something that has been the envy of the world in many ways. And yet the reality is, the whole thing is now a total charade, because what we've got in Westminster is nothing more than a local government. I mean, think of it as a county type of government, because the big decisions that affect the British economy, the big decisions that affect our lives, employment legislation, environmental legislation, health and safety, I mean, you name it, the list goes on, it's as long as your arm. All of those things are now decided by the European Union. Those laws are made in secret by an unelected bureaucracy that is called the European Commission, and we, the voter, have no means of putting them in place. We have no means of removing them. And this coup d'etat, because that's what it is, this coup d'etat of British democracy has happened slowly, surreptitiously, over the course of the last 40 years by people whose intention it was to form a European government, a greater Europe, and it is a first step towards global government. And that's the warning, and that's one of the reasons why I'm very keen to come onto shows like yours to talk to predominantly an American audience. You know, don't think you're safe. Don't think your democracy is okay. There are bad people out there, and you mentioned yourself, the Bilderberg Group. You know, these lunatics genuinely believe that they know what's best for us, genuinely believe in this concept of global government, and it will be a disaster. And that's why I gave up a career in business to fight against it.
Well, we commend you. We've got about 5 minutes left in this segment, and then 5 minutes after that before you've got to leave us. We want to be respectful of your time and also your strength recovering from the near-death experience you had in that airplane crash. And it's a blessing that you and the pilot survived. To get back to the collapse of Europe, it is collapsing. And the intel we just got from Jim Tucker, who's always spot on, I mean, you could set your watch and warrant by him, is that they are panicking. They're not even sure they can have world government now. They say their carbon tax is basically dead, and that they, and that many of them, for the first time in 60 plus years, did not attend. So it appears they are now being routed.
Yes, they are. I mean, you know, their dreams are falling to pieces, whether it's the single currency union, whether it's the whole global warming carbon tax scam, because scam is the only word that's appropriate for it. The whole thing is failing. It's losing public support massively by the day. It doesn't work in practical terms. But, you know, let's not be complacent about this. Just because their plans are failing doesn't mean they're going to stop. And my fear is that what they're going to do now is they're going to move down a route of suppressing free speech, of censuring, and maybe ultimately even imprisoning those who challenge them and fight them. And I mean, the last time, Alex, I came on with you, we talked about my discussion that I had with Herman Van Rompuy, an unelected, unknown Belgian who is now president of 500 million people. And because I told him a few home truths, because I tried to be like the boy in the Hans Christian Andersen tale, saying, look, the emperor's got no clothes, remember, I was not just castigated for that. I was actually fined 10 days' pay for having the temerity to point out.
You were censured.
I was censured and I was fined, absolutely, told this would never happen again. So what they'll do, as the edifice collapses, what they will do is they will become even less democratic and even more vicious against those that dare to speak out against them. You know, this battle is far from won just because their dreams are failing.
Absolutely. They're announcing in the U.S. that they now want to restrict the Internet. They want to restrict talk radio. It's now in the news. They're now proposing, and I see the same things in Europe. I mean, they can't beat us in the realm of ideas, so they're going to try to just shut us up and put us in the tower.
Absolutely. That is entirely right. And I have to say that looking at Obama from this side of the water, and I've felt this ever since he was elected, you know, I really genuinely think that you have got a very dangerous president indeed.
Oh, I agree. He has got a cult following, though he's only got a 40% approval rating now. That group is getting more. It's almost like as Germany was collapsing and the most hardcore Nazis were supporting Hitler. They just didn't care. They were going to support him till the end.
Yeah. No, I'm constantly struck that there are these similarities between what's happening here and what is beginning to happen in America. And people have got to start waking up.
What about the British people? I mean, I know that you say both parties are, you know, the big main parties are controlled, and they certainly are. Mr. Cameron's a Bilderberg, Stooley, Minion. But at least the fact that they threw out Brown shows that they're wanting change.
Well, it does show they want change. But what we finished up here with in Britain is a very floppy coalition government. Cameron's Conservatives are in bed now with the most Euro-fanatical, most anti-democratic Liberal Democrat Party. So whilst we've got rid of Brown, I'm afraid things ain't no better.
Because now people have got to have time to wake up to the fact that he's running a con on them. Let's come back and talk more about the future of Europe and how you see England responding as Europe collapses. Nigel Farage is our guest, member of the UK Independence Party, former leader. Nigel Farage, looking at the political landscape, I was talking during the break, I said, what do you think is most important? And you said, well, people think they've elected Mr. Cameron and gotten a change. They need to understand it's controlled change. They need to elect truly independent parties. And you see the UK Independent Party really surging and growing. And being ignored by the media and demonized when they do cover it. And it's the same thing here. Now, every incumbent in the primaries, every incumbent is being defeated. Every establishment candidate is being defeated. So it does look like the awakening's happening. And I think as soon as people figure out that things stay just as bad with Cameron, just like with Obama from Bush, there's going to be a very fast wake up here. Can you give us your take on that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, millions of people are hopeful that Cameron somehow is going to be different. But, you know, the penny's going to drop, and they're going to realize that actually they've got somebody that looks different, sounds different, appears to be more reasonable. But the reality is we have surrendered our sovereignty. We have given away our ability to govern ourselves, and it doesn't matter a damn anymore who is sitting in number 10 Downing Street. And that's why parties like the UK Independence Party are going to continue to grow. And frankly, you know, that's what you need in America. Because again, you know, I'm looking at it from 3,000 miles away, but I don't see the Republican Party actually offering any proper opposition to Obama. So start seeking alternatives. Start seeking candidates that have actually got the courage to stand up for democracy. At the end of the day, you know, what this really comes down to, it's a battle of democracy versus bureaucracy. And the global governists, they don't don't believe in democracy. They believe that they know best. They don't want the voters to change things. And that's the great battle. And I think we should really take heart, because people are, all across the Western world, waking up to what's being done to them.
And that's why the system is scared. You probably haven't had a chance to see it. I don't like to talk about myself here, but this is such great news. Zbigniew Brzezinski, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, said to the CFR, for the first time, the entire world is awake. Our world government's in trouble. And now Bilderberg, a reporter for The Guardian, who, by the way, went for the first time last year making fun of us. Now he knows how real it is. He was there when they shut it down and closed it, and he overheard at dinner the main Bilderberg managers, the minions, before they arrived, talking about, oh, these horrible protesters, oh, that Alex Jones bull, yeah, you know, bullhorned us in Canada and in the U.S. It's so scary. Will they attack? And they sound like addled children who aren't connected to the real world. I'm reminded, yeah, of George Bush Sr. on TV, 10 years after they were adopted, not knowing what a food checkout scanner is, but you know, listening to these quotes he was writing down, they sound like, you know, almost these glow-in-the-dark people that can't even feed themselves.
No, I mean, listen, Alex, of course they're scared of you, and they've been scared, I must say, you know, in Britain and in the EU, they've been scared of me for many, many years, and this is the reason I've written this book, Fighting Bull. I've chronicled how they've tried to put obstacles in my path, how they've used the black arts against me for over a decade. They've done everything they can to rubbish me, to label me as an extremist, to try and keep me off the media. They've tried to do all these things because they're terrified of the arguments, because they know that in their hearts, most people, most of us who live in the Western world, are tax-paying, law-abiding, decent people. And when we realize what has been done in our name, we will rebel against it. And, you know, we just got to keep fighting. We've got to keep fighting. We know we've got right on our side. We know that in the end, democracy is a thing that will always triumph. We know that every time in the past there have been these experiments, whether it's communism, European federalism, or global governments, it does not work. So, you know, listeners, remember that. Bad though things are, be optimistic, don't give up, and keep fighting.
Well, in the last minute or two we've got, that is what's exciting here, is that reading these quotes, I mean, we're just normal, nice people that want freedom and sovereignty, and they're scared to death of us. They're scared to death of you. They are horrified that people are now testifying before the European Union Parliament about the world government. I mean, it shows that they're not invincible, that they are human as well.
Well, it does. And just give you a little example. Global warming, the whole hysteria over global warming. 2 weeks ago, Lord Monckton, Christopher Monckton, who's been on your program before, and who was a luminary in the UK Independence Party, Monckton won a debate at the Oxford University Union the other week on the question of global warming. 2 years ago, with a young audience who'd been brainwashed, that would have been unthinkable. Completely unthinkable. And it just shows that through the efforts of all of us to make the arguments, to connect with the people, we're beginning to win.
If you just have right on your side, as the Texas Ranger founder said, that a man in the wrong can't stand up against a man in the right if the man in the right keeps on a-coming. But I think it's well taken what you said, Nigel Farage, one of the founding members of the UK Independence Party, former leader of it, European Union Member of Parliament, author of the new book that's out. That they're going to strike back, though. The empire is going to strike back. Give us the name of your book one more time.
It's Fighting Bull. I am the Fighting Bull of British politics. I'm the Fighting Bull of European politics. And you know what? A plane crash isn't going to stop me.
God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for spending time with us. We'll be right back from Bilderberg 2010 in Spain. Ladies and gentlemen, it's bigger than the victory at Trenton, what's happening right now. George Washington losing scores of battles, but winning that key battle. They understood the enemy wasn't invincible, and it was their perseverance that won the war. And I am so excited to be here and to be able to announce to all of you that we are so close to bringing down the New World Order. They have organized the collapse, but it's getting even out of their control. They are being identified. They are internally scared. They are internally upset. I mean, I can go on. Here's an example. I go on British radio every few weeks, local radio, national radio. I was on Talk Sport, the most, you know, largest, most listened to private radio network in England. And it goes into Scotland and the continent of Europe. Every caller agreed with me. I was on for over an hour, about 70 minutes. The host agreed with me. And I've been going on that station since it started probably 10 years ago, 10 years ago. And it was the opposite 10 years ago. And it's the same thing here in the United States, because everything we talk about has come true and is out in the open. We've done the research. We know what we're talking about. Now, the public is finally facing issues, and they're going to face the fact that these globalists are so evil that they are genetically modifying the food to sterilize us. That's now coming out, that that is their agenda, and that it's worse than even the public thinks. Because, see, once I've been through this wake-up process in the last 17, 18 years. Really woke up about 17, 18 years ago in high school as a senior. Got politically active 15 years ago in the middle of college. And, I mean, I remember hearing the old-timers say they want a world government to exterminate us. And you'd say, oh, shut up, old man. And then you actually get the documents. These are not dumb old men that were saying all this. They were right about it all. And, yeah, I mean, I understand, folks, you know, as the king of, quote, conspiracy theories. I'm not. I'm the king of facts here and reaching out to people and taking action. I mean, all I've done is my duty. And other people have emulated what I've done and taken it to even, you know, higher levels. And we've trailblazed. But we don't have time to screw around. They are going to start wars very soon. You watch. Every one of our expert guests who's got their finger on the pulse agrees. I can see it. They're at their most dangerous. But I've always said this. It's better to force them to have to carry out their agenda than to let them do it their way and take their time. It's better to go head up against them, because then we got a chance of beating them. If we don't resist them, they're going to win for sure. And, you know, they can't stand the spirit of people that just say, you know what, kill me, put me in prison, destroy my name, lie about me, have your COINTELPRO operators pose as patriots and attack me from 1,000 sides. It doesn't matter what you do. I'm going to sacrifice my name, who I am in this. I am a kamikaze in the info war, a torpedo. And when you've got that commitment, you can't be stopped, ladies and gentlemen. And they can't stand it that we aren't going to back off. We aren't going to turn around. It's like a game of chicken with two giant speed trains, and we can't get off the tracks. I mean, I'm not going to turn. I'm not going to give up, because my goal in this mission is not to make it out of this. If I do, that's gravy. That's a gift from God. I don't say prayers every night. And again, I'm not up here on a high horse for us. I'm not up here on a high horse. I'm telling you where I come from. I don't say prayers at night like, God, give me this. Oh, God, protect me. God, do this and that. Sometimes I pray, please protect me if that's your will. I just ask God, help me to be a good person. Help me to be articulate. Help me to be focused. Help me to be strong. Please give me the energy and focus. You know, please. It's upsetting knowing all this stuff. You know, please. And God has just blessed me to a level I couldn't imagine and protected us and my family. And I have selfishly a few times said, look, let them do anything they want to me. Just please protect my family. But the issue is, you've just got to have the attitude you're not giving up. Now, I want to go to Paul Dornanu, who 3 years ago sent us incredible video and photos. He's from Romania, but he went to Istanbul, the capital of Turkey, and covered the Bilderberg Group meeting there. Did an amazing job. And he's got a website that everybody should visit as well. And we'll get that posted up on the story he sent us. He sent us some amazing photos, and it's infocon.ro, just infocon.ro. Does a lot of amazing investigative research and reports, and he does speak pretty good English. So we're going to go to him in about 4 minutes, and I appreciate Paul Dornanu from Bilderberg 2010. We're getting Guardian reporters on. We're getting American Free Press reporters on. We're getting independent reporters from Romania on, these info warriors. And his photos are up on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. They just went up on Prison Planet minutes ago. They may not be up on InfoWars yet. But I briefly wanted to go to Ted Anderson, because you got gold up $7 plus today. Last time I checked. In fact, let me just look it up. You've got gold way up. You've got gold running out in Europe, a lot of it running out in the U.S., and it's the weekend, and Ted told me yesterday, he said, I'm about to run out of the francs that are priced in a market that's almost $100 lower than it is, a fifth of an ounce for $256 a piece. He's almost out of these. He's got a few other coins at the old super low price that nobody can match, literally. Then it'll go up, and it's still a great deal. So I wanted to bring Ted up briefly on the economy, the stock market plunging over 300 points today, and just to tell people the brokers will be there to take your order this weekend. And, you know, they got a lot of other great deals as well, the collector coins and everything else. But specifically, these bullion deals I certify are the best deals I've ever heard of. The francs and a few others he's about to offer, the silver half dollars at $9 and something a piece. These are really smoking hot deals. Ted Anderson, thanks for coming on with us. Briefly, tell people about today's coin offers.
Yeah, sure. Well, right now the franc is currently at $256.68, which, you're just like you said, I'm holding that price down. British sovereigns have sold out because people in Europe are so excited about buying gold with everything falling apart around them that they've just simply bought out what's available in the marketplace. And the francs are a European coin too, so obviously that's going to be falling under the same pressure. Right now, the franc is the best buy at $956.68. But we do also have the U.S. Eagle and many other things. If you're into the silver, there's no question about it, those walking Liberty halves. Even if you go to the internet right now, you'll find that they're over $10 a piece. And right now I have them at $9.75, so that's really a great buy. The junk silver, the clean rounds, we call them, all that stuff is a good buy right now, Alex. Everybody is becoming so familiar and so aware of the fact that the central banks are bailing out the countries. They talk about one country bailing out another. Everybody's in trouble. Nobody's got a surplus of money.
But, Ted, you call it a good deal. No one that I've seen has silver half dollars at the price. I mean, we're not just saying this. Look it up, folks. No one has francs at $200. And, $56 a piece that I've seen. You bought a bunch of this. You're now about to run out. You bought this stuff at almost $100 lower in the market. And so any amount of tiny markup you had when you bought it then is well gone now in the swings in the market. I mean, these are really exceptional deals. If people are going to get into gold and silver, they need to take advantage of this because, are your supplies of those silver half dollars and francs, are they going to last past Sunday?
Well, the silver dollars are real tight. The francs, I mean, I might not even be able to sell a franc after last Sunday or this Sunday coming up. I will hold it at this point, at this dollar amount, but with gold going up over $11 today, I mean, we're talking about francs that were priced way back at $1,150. So, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, it was $7 a few minutes ago. I'm sorry, it's up by $10.50 right now. Yeah, and, of course, that's in the U.S. market. It's even all-time records in Europe.
Right, and the market is very strong. And you know, if you're sitting there with investments in other places and you're thinking, man, you know, what should I do here? I just need to tell you. I mean, the United States government right now, I mean, people usually go to the Treasury bills for safety and security, but the government is printing so much money that the Treasury bills aren't going to even hold value. And the sad part about it is that we can't afford to pay our bills as the government is concerned at the interest rates are practically at zero. What do you think is going to happen when we have inflation and interest rates go from, you know, a half a point to say 3%. I mean, we're going to have to increase our budget by almost double for that. You know, the United States is broke. The rest of the world is broke. There's no way that we're going to get out of this thing unscathed. And you need to be getting into gold and silver.
And
period.
As we said, as the general public starts to figure out gold and silver are the place to be, the common sense. I mean, I believe it's going to go way up, but I don't even buy it as an investment looking for that. I'm buying it as something I know. What do pirates have? What do governments have? You know, what do criminals have? I mean, what does anybody who's down on the street, who's smart, street smart, you want the loot. You want the loot, ladies and gentlemen. You want the booty. You don't want a bunch of paper with old dead white guys on it. You want to have the gold and silver. Here's the number, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. And the brokers are going to be there till late tonight to take your calls. If you call and they're not there, leave your name and number. They'll call you back in the morning. And this is only running till midnight Sunday evening, 800-686-2237. They've got a lot of other great deals, but the half dollar silver, the fifth of an ounce gold francs, those are the deals that you get the Alex Jones special on that I can guarantee from my research is as good as it gets or even better. 800-686-2237. And again, I just hope that people call and the brokers will be there throughout the weekend. 800-686-2237. Ted Anderson, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Alex.
You bet. Okay, we've had continual Bilderberg Group coverage because this is one of the most powerful organizations in the world. Jim Tucker joined us, who has actual Bilderberg Group contacts inside the organization in the management level. I'll just leave it at that. I'm going to shut up. The point is that you can set your watch and warrant by what he says. And because he's been right. 1 year before the Berlin Wall, he predicted it, that they were going to stage it. He said March of 03, not 02 for the attack on Iraq. The oil prices going to $150 a barrel a year before it happened. I mean, on and on. He says green light to attack Iran, that it's all going towards that. A miracle could stop it, I guess. I mean, just that'll all be written up this weekend at PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com, but that was huge. But in the last 15 minutes, I want to go to Paul Dornenu, again, with Infocon.ro from Romania, and we have the Bilderberg Group photos. We'll put some of those on screen that he just sent us of Wolfensohn and the former head of the World Bank and others, Bill Gates, that are there. But Mr. Dornenu, thank you for being there in Spain to cover this, sir. Break down what you've witnessed.
Hi, Alex. Thank you for having me on your show. Right now, I'm right here in front of the police barricade in Sitges, where it goes to the Dolce Hotel. And I might add that this is actually my third Bilderberg coverage. So far, last year, we've been detained in Greece. But this time in Sitges, basically, we haven't had such problems like last year. Even the security is higher. The police here was nicer with us. They didn't take us away. We basically just sit here in this roundabout and managed to get some good pictures and managed to identify some people.
Well, that's exciting. And, of course, you've had a chance to talk to some of the other reporters. Any other intel that Tucker didn't cover here? I mean, you may not have been listening, but what's some of the news the reporters are telling you that are there on the ground? I've heard there's quite a bit of media coverage.
Yes, the coverage is, I would say, extraordinary compared to the previous years in Greece and Istanbul, because I could see even yesterday and today, like up to five or six TV stations broadcasting live from right here, from in front of the entrance of the hotel where the police barricade is. So basically, I'm very, very surprised to see that happening. And not only that, I can see lots of people coming from other countries like Portugal, France, UK, Belgium, Czech Republic, United States, lots and lots of people, independent media, or just regular people coming here and offering their support, coming with their cameras, video cameras, and trying to help in a way or another. And I even met yesterday and today and had an interview with Estelin, Daniel Estelin. And actually another reporter, documentary maker, who has some very, very good information. And he was in back in Italy in 2004. If you remember, they were able to make there some very good photos. He also got some very good video pictures with them sitting at tables talking to people and going on the boat, on a trip boat. And he's preparing these videos for a documentary to be released at the end of this year, Extraordinary Images. And what's important is that he was actually able to go inside the hotel on Sunday, right after when they were leaving, and he was able to see and look at documents that I never seen before, about attendee list, about private conversation between doing emails, private notes.
Is this this year, or are you saying year, in years past?
This was from 2004.
But okay, this documentary filmmaker, where are they from?
He's from Belgium. His name is Giorgio Bambusei, something like that.
We'd like to get him on, so if you can give us his contact.
I will provide you the contact information, and he has very, very good information.
Sure. What intel did Estelin give you in the interview you just conducted with him? What's his word?
Well, basically, Estelin confirmed to me the same topics that were going on, and he was waiting to get more information. I have no special updates from him. I try to cover basically everything from what's going on right now here. What I'm going to do.
Well, let me ask you this. It's certainly exciting, too, that he addressed a section of the European Parliament at the request of an Italian member of the EU Parliament. So this is definitely a route. Did you see the London Guardian report that the reporter was in there as they were shutting it down and heard the, because you could tell by the badges, the head of the Bilderberg Club, not Etienne Davignon, but his subordinates, talking about how upset and scared they are, and talking about myself bullhorning them in the past, and saying that a lot of the delegates didn't show up because of fear.
Yes, I've heard about that, and I think there are people that maybe are missing. We've seen yesterday many cars, but we're expecting much more cars to arrive. So I think, yes, it's very possible that some attendees are not participating. And that's one fact I wanted to bring up, the intel we got from Italy, from this guy Giorgio, is that the attendee list that we're getting are not true in 100%.
That's like Bill Gates. I mean, Bill Gates had a fake conference. This is mainstream news in Germany and Spain. Well, let's come back and talk about that. And then he got caught by the media. He said, well, I'm really here for Bilderberg to talk about basically population reduction. So just incredible developments today and such good news that these guys are really panicking. Confirming what Zbigniew Brzezinski was saying last week. I mean, folks, I'm not a drinking man myself. I haven't been drinking lately, but this is the day to pop some champagne, I will tell you. We'll be right back. Paul Dornanu is our guest. His website is infocon.ro, infocon.ro. Amazing photos he gave us that are up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now, but you can also go to his site and see even more. They're reporting on Bilderberg. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the global elite, and the fact that they're scared and some didn't show up, and that Bill Gates had a fake medical conference in Barcelona that he then didn't attend, that wasn't real, and now he admits he is at Bilderberg. This is just incredible. These are the people engineering the global collapse. Paul Dornanu, in the time we've got left, finish up the point you were trying to make.
Yes, sir. Well, I was trying to say that you said about Bill Gates. Well, I photographed earlier yesterday Craig Mundy from Microsoft. So they're here. What I wanted to say is that from the other information I managed to get from here is that there might be other smaller Bilderberg conferences throughout the year. For example, last November in Brussels, there was another Bilderberg meeting. Well, only the steering committee had met. So we should try to investigate that more. Obviously, there are more secret meetings of those people.
Exactly. I mean, back in the 50s, they could meet once a year and steer things. Now they're meeting every month, and they meet at trilateral commission meetings. Others, like the Australian News reported, heads of 28 biggest banks meet in secret. So there's lots of other secret meetings going on, but Bilderberg, being one of the most central meetings, has really brought this out in the open. And Tucker said in his 30 plus years of covering it, they are the most unhappy and dejected that he's seen them. So that's good news.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm very happy to see that more and more people are waking up and they are coming here. I was not expecting at all to see that that much media coverage and so many people coming from around the Europe and United States to try to be here and coverage for different media around the world. So that's a very good thing, and that's what we should try to do next year as well, yeah, more and more people at the deliberate meetings.
Well, absolutely. Well, I just want to say we salute the work you're doing. And I mean, is it heartening for you to see more and more people every year, more and more press coverage, more and more exposure? Now world government is out in the open. We can have a serious debate about whether we want to be slaves or not.
Well, what I think is that right now we can really hope that we can fight them and stop the new world order and try to change the things in the world.
In closing, and we'll get you back on next week once you've gotten back to Romania to give us an overall view of what you witnessed there and more photos and video you've gotten. We'll show it here on TV as we simulcast at PrisonPlanet.tv. But I mean, in closing, in Romania, what type of awakening are you seeing?
Well, there's an awakening in Romania, too, because, you know, a few years ago, that's where I started doing this. Nobody was talking about it, and when you were talking about it, they were saying you're crazy, this is, you know, conspiracy theories and such and such. So I wanted to basically demonstrate and show them, look, they exist, they're there, and they're meeting in secret and taking decisions which you don't know about, okay, and they affect you. So basically, more and more people, more and more media in Romania as well, they basically awakening and try to talk about it. Even politicians know about it. For example, in the transcript of Daniel Estulin's presentation in Brussels, I got it from a friend who is a Europarlamentary at Brussels in the Parliament of Europe.
Well, that's incredible. Yeah, it's just more and more we are identifying the real rulers instead of the pawns, the Barack Obamas and the David Camerons. Great job. Stay there, Paul Dornan. I want to talk to you once the show's over. Retransmission starts now with six different guests today. Back live Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central.